Montreal.
Welcome back, Canada.
You got the Chewy and Fuckface show.
Chewy and Fuckface.
Episode 100. Yay! Everything is awesome. It's great. It's great.
Hey, we're so horny.
Hey, shut the fuck up. We're back with our longtime guest, friend of the show.
Wait, hold on. It's Liam!
Oh, fuck off, Chewy!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Liam!
How old are you?
I'm 23 all year long. Oh my god, what the fuck are we doing with our lives? Where?
How old are you, Liam?
23.
Really?
Your reflexes are still sharp, Liam!
No, I'm losing them.
They're sharp like a fucking buzzer?
Yeah! Good job, Liam. Alright, but hold on. We gotta bring it down a bit.
Chewy, you gotta bring it down.
We gotta get a little bit serious. Who do we have over here? It's the Shit King, ladies and gentlemen!
Shit King, it's great to have you back.
Me so horny!
How was it at the shit home?
Oh, we had a lot of hollering in the shit home today. What? We had some great guests over at the shit home today.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. This is a mess.
Were the guests other members of the shit royal family?
No. We had some outside neighbors coming into the shit kingdom. There's a cow, apparently. It's going, oh, there's a horse over there, too.
You have a panda sound effect, Chewy.
Yeah, there's crickets, apparently.
Okay, well, fuck it. That's
why.
Okay, let's get up. This is serious business.
Okay, serious business.
We need to get down to some serious business, you guys.
Okay, what's going on?
Before we get too excited,
okay.
Everybody needs to know we got a special announcement to make.
Special announcement.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank God it's Friday.
It's Friday.
Is it?
It's not Friday.
No, it's not Friday.
Okay, I thought my calendar was mixed up.
But
there.
To all you loyal Chewy and fuckfacers, it's Friday every day.
Yeah.
Do you mean Chewy and the face fuckers?
Well, no, it's the fuckfacers.
The fuckfacers. Right, sorry.
Shit King, you've been on 100 of these episodes.
I
don't remember the fuckfacers.
It feels like it's been forever.
It does feel like it's been forever, Shit King.
Oh, jeez.
What's going on here?
I don't know.
Chewy, I don't think you can use that sound clip.
I can't believe we don't
Uh-oh.
I can't believe we lack a farting sound effect. That's close enough.
That's why they call you Shit King.
I guess so.
Hey, Liam.
Did you get that memo?
I don't know. Did you?
What? What would you say you do here?
Because, I don't know, I mean, you think you've been
working... Chewy, you need to get off that fucking soundboard right now.
You've been working... Well,
you can kill him,
all right.
But you won't take his soundboard away.
No, you can't.
Liam, I got a question to ask you.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow.
Is that a possibility?
Yeah,
we were discussing...
We kind of already spoke about this.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday.
We gotta record those things,
that's
man.
Fine.
Kabowie!
All right. You get it?
You get it?
Is it funny yet?
I don't know if you give it a little bit.
You know, Chewy, as the premier shock jock podcaster of the era, you seem to have taken a bizarre, somber tone.
Yeah.
For our goofy, rip-roariously hilarious podcast extravaganza 100 episode.
People are still waking up. It's nice and early, and everyone needs
to... No, Mike is listening to this 4 hours from now.
Yeah.
Mike is listening. Actually...
eating his delicious cornflake ice cream.
We gotta give Mike some applause.
Some big ups.
Mike Zero Dude, he came out this weekend down to the Montreal Comic Con.
Oh, he went.
Yes.
Because I had a moment with him. We're talking, and I was like, hey, Pat, you going to Comic Con? Nah. It's like, are you going? Nah.
Yeah.
That was the whole conversation.
But then he met up with us, and we partook in his mysterious homemade ice cream.
Did he give you that fucking durian shit?
He made me durian ice cream.
Yeah.
He gave me
I have to eat some of that
corn flakes ice cream, which was really good.
I bet that is. That seems like a good
flavor. I was super apprehensive. I'm like, what is this concoction that man was not meant to know?
You're gonna eat the durian and ice cream, no problem. The cornflake one's gonna freak out.
No. Like, the initial idea.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had the cornflake ice cream. It was delicious. The durian still tasted like durians, which means awful.
I didn't even try it. I didn't even
I know. Dodged a durian-shaped bullet.
It got weird, though, when he shouted,
"The day is mine!"
I didn't know why. I don't know why he did that.
It's weird, because he's got, like, a French-Vietnamese accent. It's kind of nuts how he was able to pull that off right there.
Yeah.
You'll eat the fucking second hottest pepper in the world.
You'll eat cake that's 100 days old.
You won't fucking eat a good friend of yours ice cream gift.
But he's right to do it.
You are literally looking a gift horse in the mouth.
I didn't try it yet. Maybe I should try it.
Do you have it with you?
I remember.
It's around.
Don't talk to me, I'm on my popcorn break.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
I remember playing Super Mario Sunshine. It said, pick up a durian. And I said, fuck you! I don't know what that is. I don't know what it looks like. I ain't picking up
the disgusting smells like fruit shit that you can't believe people decided to eat.
Either way, the other flavors so far have been fine.
Strawberry was great, too. It was strawberry
ice cream is probably pretty good.
I know it's shocking to some listeners out there.
But
it was pretty solid.
But it is actually a special episode. It is our 100th episode.
It's Jingle Bells.
Yeah, our holiday cheer.
Guess what? Santa's 100 years old every year.
Confirmed.
We've survived 100 episodes.
Okay. The final episode of the Super Podcast.
Out with a whisper.
We made it.
That we have succeeded in our goal, we can now ritually kill ourselves and ascend to the spaceship.
Yep.
That was the contract that everyone signs for a podcast is, once you're 100, you're out the door.
Yeah.
So,
those podcasts with like hundreds of episodes, those are robots.
We're old and obsolete.
Oh, not nice. You're fucking very 23, nice. You bitch.
Very nice.
I hate the podcast and all.
Yeah, the podcast is old
but obsolete.
No, there's a lot of people that were hoping that we'd have like a super crazy guest lineup.
Hey, we have to
fucking there's some cool stuff planned.
Yeah, just be the I don't remember the.
But some people like seem to want like the entire Seattle Mariners team or something.
Yeah, so they want a Knights of the Round Table podcast.
Exactly. So, Ken Griffey up in here.
So I don't remember who it was that wrote this post, and I'm sorry, but it was somebody on our Reddit, the Two Best Friends Play Reddit, that had, what do you think they're gonna do for episode 100? That had the suggestion of, what if the entire episode was a Chewy and Fuckface? At which point I go to Willie and says, just get a soundboard. Just get a fucking soundboard. That shit's the best. So whoever the fuck that was, it's your fault.
It's all very nice. It's also a very common thing, because I didn't see that post, but I just remember talking to one of you and just said, we should just probably be, like, I just came to it naturally. It was like, we should probably become a Chewy Fuckface. And everyone's like, everyone's thinking that.
I mentioned we should just record a legit intro for the Chewy and Fuckface show, like you would hear at the beginning of that power hour on the radio.
Yeah, that's too much work.
And his name is John Cena.
If there's one thing about this podcast, is that sometimes if it's too much work, it doesn't happen.
But Liam, you look like you're taking damage, so.
A little bit. It's fucking hot. This is the first day of summer in Montreal.
It feels like it after so much rain.
It's the first day that I walked outside and I felt the air.
Yeah.
Mm.
I need some type of suit to help me deal with this.
We almost narrowly missed having a guest because Cranky Construct was up in town for the last couple
up
days.
In
yeah.
Town.
But he
up
left as of early this morning.
Up in shit keep.
Yeah.
I'll just start off and say Cranky Construct, him and I were talking for a bit, and I said, you should come for the Montreal Comic Con. You might, come down, see some fun things, or whatever. You can stay with me if you like. And he took me up on the offer, and we picked him up, and we did some things. He came over, and...
This sounds really suspicious.
It's not, actually, because I kind of said, hey, would you want to do some videos with us as well?
See, now it's less suspicious.
That's how
okay, we have to pull that soundboard out of your timing.
No, I don't know. I disagree.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So here's the thing that's genius about this soundboard. Wooly was lazy and did not get a real soundboard. Instead, using the PC that we are recording this podcast on, he has the goddamn soundboard up, like, connected via whatever. So you can't fuck with this soundboard.
Did he even hit record?
Yeah, no. Actually,
we're going.
No, we're going. We're 10 minutes in.
It's unclear.
This podcast can now not be undone.
Yeah.
We have put too much effort
Never
into it.
Too
already.
Much.
We
forgot,
way too much.
It's the best.
But yeah, Cranky showed him around town. You know, you. Hey, Poutine Fest was also this weekend.
Yeah. Everything was this weekend.
If you want a taste of Montreal, come eat these cheese curds and gravy and fries and Poutine Fest was insane. It was just masses and masses of people could bear. It was so great that we got out of that overstuffed conference hall that the Comic Con was in and go likewise into Old Montreal and a place that was even busier and about an hour wait to get poutine in
Dude,
some
middle
kiosks.
Of summer,
but
festival.
It was worth it.
Tourist town. That's how it is.
Mrs. McMuscles took him and some other friends, and they went to, let's just get regular poutine, let's start you off light, don't want to over.
No, you can't go in hard but with the multiple flavors before you know what poutine is.
Not I remember, if you're from goddamn anywhere but Quebec.
Yeah. Right. I remember Wooly mentioning last year, he's like, I had General Tao poutine, and I was like, I need to fucking try this. So I found the one kiosk that had General Tao poutine, which just basically replaces the
it
gravy.
Sounds like death.
Replaces the gravy with like a General Tao sauce and just chunks of General Tao.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
good.
It quite a bit.
Sounds
really,
good.
Really, really liked it. So we did that. I brought him around the Montreal Comic Con, which is even bigger than last year, like an expanded.
Sorry,
artist.
Is this the Montreal San Diego Comic Con?
This is basically our San Diego.
The Montreal
Comic-Con.
New York San Diego Comic Con.
I heard that the actual Comic Con is
York.
Pretty flustered about the Montreal's usage of the name and is going to be pursuing legal.
Are you for real?
What
no,
about New York Comic Con?
Aren't they affiliated, those two?
I don't know.
I heard the
all.
San Diego one was going to be pursuing
You don't own the word
shit,
comics, man. You're
not
Tim Langdell.
Comic convention? Really?
Well, Comic Con is their name. It's been their name, and it's
is this called San Diego Comic Con?
Liam, are you stirring the pot on beef?
Just saying, I heard it.
If it was like PAX Montreal, that'd be one thing.
That's a little bit.
But
it's actually a Roman convention.
We enjoyed it quite a bit. Lots of stuff. Cranky got himself a really cool art book of art of a game that he wasn't familiar with, but people were throwing him this art.
Yeah.
And he tracked down the art book in which, so he enjoyed getting that.
Well, you guys, like, I walked in there and you just pointed at the Eyes of Bayonetta 2.
Oh yeah, the Bayonetta 2 art book was just sitting there.
And I gathered up some lint and a couple of paper clips and paid for that.
Somehow.
Yeah.
We went to the Final Fantasy concert, which is called, The New World, which is very interesting because it's an intimate 14-piece orchestra, and it was like, we're going to play some of the lesser-known things. We're going to play the theme of the Red Wings. We're going to play some town themes. And I'm just sitting there. I'm with him. I'm with a dork friend. And I just go, come on, back to Zanarkin! Back to Zanarkin! And then
they have a piano on stage?
They had a piano
then
stage.
They're going
to
play back
you
to
You know
Zanarkin.
That they have to do it. And then they go, we're going to play some music now from Final Fantasy X. Yes!
And play One-Winged Angel!
Right? So they start playing
the
Back
Tom
to Zanarkin, and they're playing it. It's a beautiful rendition of it. I, of course, start cracking up, because I think of the porn box.
Yeah.
During
that,
it.
That episode of Pedia, man.
We are ruining ourselves.
I start having a good laugh, and they play one track from 13, and they go, okay, who's a fan of Final Fantasy 13?
Oh, no, don't.
And there's a long pause, and then, like, five hands go up.
Did Billy stand up
right
on his own?
I didn't see
it. Was it the battle music?
It's the best track.
It's the best
no,
track.
No, it wasn't the battle
music. Is it the main
music?
Theme called Answers?
There's some good tracks in
it
that
was,
game,
it
seriously.
Was.
Like, there are some good ones.
No, but
hands
it was
special.
A really interesting, like, kind of theater experience, because they're like, this is kind of chamber music. You can hear every individual instrument and all that. So there you go. So we've noticed that, you know, we haven't played music from a certain game. And everyone starts getting riled up, and they're like, so, I'm really excited for the remake of Final Fantasy VII, the composer says, and I've worked with Uematsu and lots of stuff, and him and I put together this concert. So we're going to play for you, of course, One-Winged Angel. And it's essentially, the crowd just goes nuts, and they go, but we want to have some crowd interaction, so
no.
You guys are going to sing.
They're going to do the chorus?
With us.
Cool.
And you want to do, when I point to you, da-da-da.
Yeah.
You want to say, you know what you want to say. So we do that, and as it gets to the part, I don't know why, but I start getting really psyched up. And we all started shouting, Sephiroth! And Cranky almost fell out of his chair because he's like, I didn't know you were going to scream it that high. And I was like, oh no, I was really into it.
Did the crowd start harmonizing as well?
No, just the Sephiroth thing. Okay. It's a little kind of difficult to try to get everyone in yeah. harmony. Yeah, but okay. it was really fun.
Oh, yeah, it's all Latin.
Yeah, it was about an hour long and it cost almost nothing. If you had a Comic-Con ticket, it cost you like 50
it was held.
Bucks.
It was held in the convention, right?
Yeah, it was yeah. just up in a the floor court. Or two. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, went around looking for a games room, found a tabletop room.
Apparently Smash was being run all weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't know where, though. I met Steve Bloom, who, of course, we've about talked about at least once in every LP ever.
Because he's in all
Because he's in all of them.
All of them.
And I asked him to do a very specific thing on camera for something, you know, a project later on. But this is one of those times where I just don't know exactly why... But I just stumbled and so, hey, Mr. Bloom, Wooly would have loved to have watched me do this.
Is this the cringe power?
Is this because, like, you spent so many, like, thousands of words disparaging his placement in games?
Not disparaging it, but always making note of it. And he goes, so I'm a big fan, I play games... And he goes, hi, and I go, oh my god, this is how we act when someone's really enthusiastic and doesn't know
this is how to, every moment
and,
we've
and it
had.
Reminds me, it's like, just, all you have to do is be courteous, and he was super, super nice,
yeah.
and said, yeah, no, I'll say that on camera, no problem, and I go, okay, alright, I got my mic, oh, I haven't put it in my cam, oh, and yeah. I got him to say a thing on camera, I'm sorry, I'm being a little aloof about it. But he was super, super nice, and I just kind of... And Cranky was watching me from afar. He goes, man, that was embarrassing. Yeah. And I was like, no, but I'm sorry.
My batteries are in charge. Oh, the lens cap is...
It was a little much. And really, really quickly, I kind of wrap everything up. But I did an adult thing, which is after I had fun at Comic-Con, buying lots of crap I shouldn't have bought, I went to a baby shower. It's probably the most adult thing you could ever do, even if you're not the one that's having a baby. I went to a baby shower, and they go, all right, we have lots of fun activities, and almost none of them are fun. Except for the one, which is like, we have blank onesies for the baby, draw whatever.
That's fun.
And I posted a picture on Twitter of, like, a Punisher skull with a pink bow on the front. Sure. And what I think is a very accurate drawing of Godzilla. And lots of people seem to enjoy it, and everyone's going, oh, man,
well, you know
oh.
what? Your audience is someone that will not have object permanence. No. They'll like it just fine.
Yep. A baby won't even know that, you know.
Yeah, babies are dumb as shit.
Babies are pretty dumb. So that was pretty fun, and kind of finally, me and Cranky have, like, what I think is now a grudge in Tetris Attack, where we played about 2 hours last night, and straight down the middle, four games for him, four games for me, matches that go into 4 minutes, which is an eternity in Tetris Attack time, mm-hmm. and my eyes started hurting because it wasn't blinking,
mm-hmm.
and no... I literally, when you hear the sounds of build-up when someone's putting trash on your screen, and there's times where you dread it, and then there's times where I feel like, if you recall this sketch that Will Ferrell did, where he plays that crazy boss that stabs his own employees to death, and then Chris Parnell comes around with a trident and a net and goes... Oh, I'm coming to kill you, Mr. Tarzarin. He goes, oh, Scott Jurgensen, I love it. I'm going to murder you.
Yeah. Wow, I can just see how that goes right in Anchorman.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and so when you hear the sounds of build-up of Cranky putting trash on you, I go, I love it. I can't wait to get this trash from you. And I had a blast playing that with him. I watched a bunch of Steven Universe, and you have your own adventure with Cranky, so I'll push it all over to you now. All
right. Well, I know one thing was a bit of a bummer was because of the weekend with MTL Comic Con, and Cranky was in town and stuff and everything. Didn't have time for Splatfest, so totally missed out on that.
He and I missed it, and he's a huge Splatoon fan.
Yeah,
so everyone missed
it. It was a bummer, man.
What is that exactly?
Dogs won, though, so fuck it. It's all good. They represented.
Yeah.
What is Splatfest exactly?
It's just a weekend where you shoot more aggressively.
Like the hub world changes.
Okay.
Looks cool, like fireworks
theme
and
weekend.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Theme weekend, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you can
there's
choose.
There's gonna be more.
You can choose to fight for dogs or cats.
Oh, good. Dogs won. Cool.
And there's like an easier, cheaper reroll gift or something for
cats. All play like shit because they're too independent. They don't know how to play as a team.
And they do the bare minimum.
And they let down their team one last time.
Oh, we lost. Oh, fuck it.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Wow, just shitting on Zach hard. But
Zach doesn't give a fuck. What I say.
He doesn't play video games as much as he used to. He's getting out of the game.
But no, so what happened was at the con, I got to meet Jay Lee, and I had him sign my Transformers vs. G.I. Joe
you
comic books.
You found that?
Yeah. Okay, cool. I fucking went home and brought my comics back.
Oh, you actually?
I went home. Okay. I saw. I'm like, oh shit, Jay Lee's here. Went and got my six comics, brought them back.
Grenada.
Yeah, and you know, really nice guy. He's cool. His art is so fucking good. And then myself, Mike Zero Dude, and Cranky came back to my place, and we just fucking just binged some anime. So I can actually do Liam's segment a little bit.
What did you watch?
I watched a lot.
What's the length of your binge?
Okay, well,
you watched a bunch of different.
We sampled a bunch of different things, and then I stuck to a couple episodes.
What's the length of the binge?
So
that says everything right up front. Is it like 12 hours?
No,
like 5 p.m. to 11 p.m.
It was okay, yeah, like it was like afternoon
that's your standard
to
binge.
Like yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I can give some of the. Some of the review, my slight review on some things. Did you watch anything? Because maybe we could.
I mean, I always watch stuff. I just don't talk about it because people don't like hearing about it.
Okay.
Well, so, I'm gonna take up the mantle.
We're gonna
I burned the mantle.
Sure.
I said I don't want this.
No,
mantle
I'll paint the crosshair on me. So obviously, first episode of Dragon Ball Super came out, and
I couldn't
give
less of a shit.
Okay. I'm super happy. I care.
Talk to me.
That intro is
I'm going to care when I hear it's good.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's just
Goku
another...
Of course it's good.
I
he drives a tractor.
Exactly.
Really?
No, read the first
did
of
we watch different
manga,
Majin
Buu sagas?
Like, I didn't watch the Majin Buu saga.
Well.
You know what it is? It's the beginning of a new arc. Nothing much to say so far.
Exactly.
We'll see where that goes. So, but the intro is a lot of feels for people. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that's a Dragon Ball intro. Good job.
Yeah.
Did you just watch new stuff that just started?
New
or?
Stuff, yeah.
Oh, well, I haven't. It all started like this week, so
yeah.
I've been out of town. So,
I watched like four or so episodes of Garo. That
okay.
show's
that's
fucking cool. That's not new. That's
no,
been
that's
around
not
for
new.
A little bit,
yeah.
But that show's cool. Fun stuff. Tokusatsu, if you like that shit,
mm-hmm.
jump on board.
I know.
It's very similar to Kares in the sense that it uses CG for the main character,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't look. Bad. Yeah. Like, it works, you know? So they find a way to make it work, so that's fun stuff. Watch the first episode of Blood Battle Blockade, which is the new Yasuro Naito series.
Right,
Trigun. Gungrave guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That seems like it's like introduction of dudes that fight and things and whatnot. Big tough guys that punch shit. In a city full of, like, weird-looking humans and aliens and shit like that.
So he tells them.
Can go any direction right now, you know. It could end up being great or it could end up being shit.
So
but
you really
she
have an
made this
on
launch
it,
for you.
It's just, it's a standard intro. Seems all right, but it's not quite Trigun or Gungrave yet.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I need a stronger grip than that so far. He showed me, well, it wasn't even really a full episode, but he showed me the best part of is it okay to pick up girls in the dungeon?
Danmachi, yeah.
Dungeon knee or whatever.
Danmachi.
Yeah, and it's a fight where they like, he fights a troll and that thing's cool, but the rest of that is just dumb, generic, fucking, Japanese fantasy shit.
It's a fun show, but there's not a lot going on.
I can't handle.
It's
I
fun.
I can't handle
but...
that garbage. Not interested at all. Then we watched Gate. Which is fucking cool. I like the premise of that.
Did that one just started, right?
It just started.
Yeah,
one episode out so far.
I think I put it on my list of stuff to watch, but I didn't get a chance to watch it yet.
So the premise of this show, Gate, is in modern day Japan, a portal opens up and a bunch of, like, orcs and, like bad guys from an old fantasy RPG kind of thing come riding through and attack the city and dragons and shit.
Emergency.
Right? Right? Yeah, emergency happens, but it's one gate,
yeah.
Right? They kill a bunch of people because it's like, oh shit, what the fuck's going on? But then the Japanese Self-Defense Force gets a grip of the situation and then just murders them with modern-day weapons and they stand no chance whatsoever.
No chance?
Tanks versus dudes on versus cavalry. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So they kill off the invading force and then the gate's just there. So they're like, well, fuck it. We're going to go find out what's going on in there. And they ride through and they see just random groves of, like, kobolds and shit like that. And it seems like this series is gearing up to just be modern-day military just rolling over old fantasy enemies.
You're describing, like, a mix between, like, the World of Warcraft and Shin Megami Tensei plots.
In a way, but the demons in Shin Megami Tensei can fend for themselves.
Are actually way superior to
And in this, it's just get it's a complete one-sided fight.
What the fuck
fight.
Is the name of that fantasy novel? The Dark Sword Trilogy by fucking Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman?
Oh.
It's like that shit where it's just straight up future tech versus magic.
Versus magic, yeah, okay.
That shit's great.
No, I love
it. Well, no, it's terrible.
But I love how one-sided it is so far, and I'm like, please continue this. They hint at, like, some kind of you know, like, there's some magical girls and shit that are eventually going to show up.
Kirito
like,
going to show up?
Exactly. I'm really hoping it doesn't shit the bed. Because so far, I
no,
like
No, I
that
asked you when
premise.
I was going to get good.
And then oh, I watched wow. Gangsta.
Yeah!
Did you watch it?
I just had time to watch the intro.
Dude, Gangsta is the shit.
A lot of people have been throwing this,
this
at us.
This show is the fucking shit. Like, in one episode.
I want to watch more.
Hook, line, and sinker. It's just it introduces characters, it has a nice, like, the intro's very, like, stylish in a Persona kind of way, the music is very well, you know, presented and whatnot, and then the actual events that occur are, like, not tropey, your characters are original, they're written well, it's not just fucking animu
shit, like,
it looks great, but, like, it's just refreshing when it's like, oh, you're doing something new, good job, mm-hmm. right? I highly, highly recommend it. There's one episode out so far, so, you know,
there's
good time
no
to jump on board.
Here.
Yeah. And,
Are you moving off of anime?
Yeah.
There's something we talked about off podcast or off video last time that me and you were watching before we started
That's
the podcast.
That's on the docket.
That's on the docket?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is so
it's
good.
It's like, we're getting out, and it's like, no,
That's
we
so
have
good.
To
That's
talk
on
about
the docket.
That. Okay.
And, comics. Did you pick up comics or have any time to read anything?
Not to read anything. You and I both picked up Stand on Guard.
We Stand on Guard. Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh, how is that?
I read that and good start.
Is it better than Y?
No.
Okay.
It's really hard
okay.
to beat Y.
I know. That's
and
why
it's
I'm
really
putting that
hard
out there.
To beat Saga. But it's a
Only
strong start.
So
okay,
far.
Good.
It's a strong start. So
that is
far.
The hugest mosquito I've ever seen in my life.
You want to clap it?
That's a Canadian mosquito.
No, go away.
It's gross.
Just clap. You're ruining the 100th podcast mosquito.
Liam, it's over there on Wooly's pants.
It's fine.
Okay, all right.
This pizza box is getting it. When
there you go. You stand on guard. Strong start.
Yeah, I got Thor, Goddess of Thunder. I got Spider-Gwen number one. I got the trade paperback of Marvel
is
Now.
Is Spider-Gwen worthy of Platinum wanting to do
Spider-Gwen
again?
Spider-Gwen is always fucking
so
cool.
Much people.
There was a guy that had a Spider-Gwen
No, don't
hoodie.
Change that. So much people.
So much people, like this weekend.
That's way better.
Showing tons of love for Spider-Gwen.
There was a guy that had a Spider-Gwen hoodie.
The costume's so sick!
It's great.
And I asked him, where'd you get that hoodie? And he goes, it's only on, like, Etsy. It's not even official.
Yeah.
This thing
yeah.
that
Spider-Gwen
I'm
knitted it
I got
me.
The
Land
Marvel
in
Now
most countries.
Mm-hmm. The Marvel Now version of She-Hulk trade paperback. I got a ton of stuff. So
yeah.
I haven't had time to read any. I got The Darkness versus Witchblade versus Alien versus Predator Mindhunter. Your mind will never
be
the
same.
It's shit.
Yeah.
It's a bad, bad comic.
No, that's that, good stuff.
But your mind was the same.
My mind was even worse.
I thought you were about to say something with Witchblade was good. Like,
there's not much that Witchblade is great.
What about Witchblade versus Fathom?
What about
Fathom?
Oh, God. We found
we
out this
really
weekend.
Close.
You know what?
We found out this weekend that. Oh, wait, go on.
I've been barely managing to hold on for the most of this conversation, but now you've totally lost me.
Okay, all right.
What the fuck
Don't
is
Don't worry
that?
About it. All you need to know is Wetworks continued.
No, I'm good. You know what?
Yeah, I know now.
I don't want to take too much time, but like I ended up reading a ton of comics as well. Like the Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, the Miles Morales like intro book, solid.
Yo, he's getting rolled in.
He's getting rolled in. It's good. I can see what people were talking about now, where it's like it's hard to introduce Miles Morales in a world without Peter because Peter's important to the way Miles gets into his role.
He inspires them.
Yeah. Well, it's. He's basically the Uncle Ben. in his story.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're kind
of tied. Miles, don't go wrestling one night.
Oh, because shit!
That's embarrassing.
Oh, that's so embarrassing, you creepy daisy. Porn
good
made
thing
noise.
We got that on audio.
Oh, it was super loud. Everyone heard it.
Got a Tank Girl comic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was it's crazy-ass GQ
I also got
stuff.
The new Black Canary number one, which nice. Looks awesome. Mm. And the thing I tried to find all weekend, and every single vendor, and there was a lot of them at the Montreal Comic Con, do you have Gem? No. No yeah. one has Gem and holograms. Yeah. They're all sold out. We sold out ages ago. We don't have any. Stop asking me. And I was like, sorry, I didn't know I already
you
asked you.
Fucking Gem fans asking
so
the comic
want
that you
so
like.
Much.
The only other thing we're talking about is Rat Queens.
Yeah, you picked
Volume 1 and 2.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah, no, shout out to like the cosplay friends that I was hanging out with in Toronto. They introduced me to this book, Rat Queens, and it's fucking great. Two volumes of that yeah. I've checked out so far are, it's basically a fantasy, like, D&D campaign, like, from the point of view of, like, people that are speaking with modern-day vernacular.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it gets...
God, that'd be refreshing.
And it's just, it's funny. It's funny and, like, you know, and a cool adventure and shit. And, like, the character designs and the way they kind of handle things is, like, yeah, that's original. That's fun. You're having fun with that. Highly recommend it. Check it out. You know, it's probably gonna, like, get way more popular in the coming volumes, I think.
So get in now.
I saw it at Indigo this weekend, and I was, like, kind of intrigued, mm-hmm. but I was already buying too many books, so.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And, that's me. I didn't play any games because I was busy with those guys.
Yeah,
but, you know, Mike and Cranky had good times. Thanks for hanging out. That was
fun.
Yeah. Liam.
What about you, Liam?
So this week, I lost my week. Thank you. I lost my weekend to my birthday.
Happy
Once
birthday.
Again, time fell victim to my birthday. But no, I got to hang out with my family. It was really nice. I just went in the country and did country things with my family. Looked at old photos, saw animals, killed animals.
Did you kill an animal?
No.
Did you go to your old room?
Yeah, of course.
Does your mom keep it exactly the same?
No. Not at all.
They started moving stuff out.
It's the guest room now.
Oh, okay.
That's just the reality.
See, that's what happens.
You know what happens? You move out, and your parents immediately sell the house because they can't deal.
There's that.
Yeah.
They can't.
Yeah. That's what happened.
Or
they turn your room
into
the guest room, or they turn your room into the sex dungeon. It's one of the two.
There's no need.
You got some stuff. Do you mind telling me what some of that stuff you got that you were like, thank you, but... Or is it...
Oh.
Stuff that's too big.
Just, like, yeah, my family once again buying me overly large presents, a crock pot, and a bunch of cooking pans that are fucking great, so I'm gonna use those a lot. Matt actually bought me a really nice gift, but I'm not gonna talk about it. No, I'm just kidding. He bought me the really big, like, Cherno Alpha 18-inch figure.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Really,
I saw
really
that
cool.
sitting there.
You can use it as a light source in case the lights go out.
I plan on it.
Hey, I got you early.
Yeah, exactly.
I got you early, Lee.
Yeah, totally.
Does it fit?
Totally fits.
All right.
Yeah, I haven't gotten on a video yet.
Don't
I don't
talk about
it.
What
no.
it is.
I don't want it to be.
Oh,
yeah,
you
no,
want to
leave
drop
it.
It.
Leave
just
it.
The opportunity
like
hasn't
just
happened
ask
yet.
Ask if it fits.
Okay.
That exactly. ass brace.
Yeah. Yeah, fits right in there.
Yeah.
Just.
bridle. Anyway,
I bought Junji Ito's new book that came out.
Oh God damn it!
Fragments of Horror. I'm a really big fan of Junji Ito. I like him a lot. This is his first published book in. Either 8 or 6 years, I can't remember which one it was. It's a lot weaker than his old stuff.
Oh, good.
And like he says in the afterword, that like when he was doing the drafts for the first one, he was like, this isn't coming together. And he said in the afterword, like, I felt by the end of it that I'd finally gotten back into the groove. I don't think he got back into the groove.
Oh.
Like, I like the book. It's quirky.
What's
but
this called?
Fragments of horror.
Fragments of Horror.
It's a bunch of one-shot horror.
Because he's successful and rich, and he's not living through the horrors anymore.
He is not rich.
Really?
Really?
Dude,
like, a lot of manga. Like, you need to be fucking, like, Kishimoto to be successful.
His richness
spiraled
away.
I didn't know, I didn't get it when I asked at a bookstore if they had Junji Ito stuff.
That's what it deserves.
But since he hadn't published anything in either 6 or 8 years, they didn't have anything, and the guy didn't know who I was talking about at a fucking manga store in Japan.
You know,
wow.
You
like,
know,
he is not famous
this,
by any
this
stretch.
This path
like,
to somewhat mediocrity means that Junji Ito is the perfect person to take over from Mura and finish Berserk.
Yeah, basically. So I can only recommend it to people who really like Junji Ito stuff. Otherwise, read Junji Ito.
Would you categorize me as somebody who likes Junji Ito?
Do you?
Well, I read Uzumaki.
You would know, wouldn't you?
I read Uzumaki and I read Megara Falls, and I had extreme emotional reactions to those works, and I hate them so much. Because they did exactly what they were supposed to.
Oh, so that means you're a fan.
I guess.
You should read more of his stuff, though. He has a lot of really, really cool stuff.
Fuck that!
There's this one that he wrote called Long Dream, right?
Let me be a fucking huge coward, please!
This one, Long Dream, right? It's a horror manga, of course. And the deal is, this guy comes into the hospital and he explains to the doctors, I've been having long dreams. And the doctor says, what do you mean? And he's like, they last a fucking long time.
Yeah.
Like, the other night I was asleep for 48, like, it felt like 48 hours. 2 days passed in my dream. And then the next day I was asleep for 4 days, and 4 days passed in my dream. And so they monitor him in the hospital, and he just keeps staying asleep for longer and longer periods of time. In reality, he's only asleep for one night.
But time starts to speed up.
For him, eventually, he starts waking up, and he can't deal, because he's been married and had children in his dreams, and then it's all gone, and he can't tell.
Oh.
And eventually, the dream world is taking more time than the real world, so it's more real to him. Fucking...
It's an Adventure Time episode that's pretty much his exact concept.
There's an X-Men character that has similar issues as well. Yeah.
That's similar to a plot point in Virtue's Last Reward as well, actually. It's similar, not the same.
This came first, anyway. Yeah.
How is Liam pitching the scary thing and you're the one that's like, no, I don't want to...
Junji Ito is the only horror thing that I love because can totally deal with.
Because you get to handle turning the page at the pace you like.
And no, for some reason, it doesn't scare me. It's thrilling, and it's like, awesome. It's
I don't know
smart.
If I've ever had this conversation in front of you, but I've had it in front of Matt a bunch of times. Like, I love horror games. Because most horror games, back when I played them, when I was like 11, they weren't actually that scary. I like horror themes. I like horror imagery, but I don't actually want to be scared.
Okay. I find the written word is not as scary as like a visual. Like, it just doesn't affect me that way. So when I see like an image, like I read a story that it was like scary stories for kids.
Mm.
It was the actual story was not scary. It's about ants, a kid that abuses his ants in his ant farm. There was an image of a bunch of ants crawling into his eyeball.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
Fuck the story. There the illustration go. Scared the shit out of
I
me.
I like Goosebumps.
You should look at Junji Ito's shit because that's the kind of stuff.
Uzumaki's
really good.
You're right. The like, stuff like the Gashly Crumb Tinies. Where it's just like, look at all these children and how they died. And it's like, ooh.
Junji Ito is like Goosebumps Max.
Max.
Like,
Goosebumps Sky Mission.
Yeah, Goosebumps God Arrange. God Arrange is good. That's strong.
Thank you. There we go.
Goosebumps the best.
But, no, he's still, like, I love him, but yeah, I don't think his new stuff's as good as his old stuff. But I still really recommend it if you do
He'll
like
bounce
his old
back.
Stuff. Yeah, exactly. The only other stuff I did this week, other than my birthday, I went through and just finished completely Infamous First Light, which is the standalone DLC for Second Son.
I've not heard very good things about that.
It's the thing that's not Reader Die, cool the paper powers.
But I'm fucking still pissed.
I'm still
pissed that there's no paper powers.
That would have got me in.
Like a year.
Yeah. No, Wally, what you should be pissed about is how lame the concrete power is.
It's really lame,
that too,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
But after taking a sufficient long break from Second Son, which I finished way long time ago.
Maybe that's
20
why.
Years ago. I came back to Last Light, or whatever it's called, and I just had a blast for the 3 hours that it was.
Is it
very
just
short.
The same Neon powers as Desmond?
Fetches is adjusted,
Fetches
and she's,
okay.
like, way stronger
Fucking
than Desmond.
Thank God.
Delson. She's way stronger, way more capable
Beanie
than Delson.
Beanie Northman Baker.
So she's way more fun to play as. Yeah. But I don't know, I had a really fun time. That one's mostly like challenge arenas and stuff, so it's fun, arcadey shit. I really enjoyed it. And I played a bunch of J-Stars Victory Versus. So I came from the Japanese version when that launched, and I didn't feel too strongly about the Japanese one. I do prefer it in English, for sure, just because I can understand it, even though the story's kind of schlocky. And I like some of the tweaks that they've made. Like, Wooly, you've played it a little bit, right?
Not even yet.
No? Okay. So when you knock someone down and they get up, they have invincibility frames, like, well into their attacks.
Oh, wow.
Like,
okay.
Really long invincibility frames. It's annoying. You get the hard knockdown. Okay. They have the advantage. You have to run away.
Don't hard knock down.
Jeez.
Yeah. It used to be even worse. Now they've reduced it to like only 2 seconds when you're standing.
That's how an epic battle
that's,
works.
So that's like virtual on almost in like some ways where it's like you're flashing invincible for a while.
The structure is very similar to like the Gundam Versus or virtual on stuff. But it's just, it's not as punchy, it's not as quick, it's not as good. Like, it's really fun and enjoyable, just, like, fan service stuff, and there's a lot of content to go through. But, like, man, there's a bunch of tweaks that they could have made and just made it significantly more fun. So, I don't know. I feel like the Rock, Paper, Scissors game isn't there. You know what I mean? Because they just wake up, and they have the advantage.
Yeah, I mean, I bought it, I gotta spend some time, but, like, one thing I'm curious about is, like, games like this usually have bullshit for stages. Boring alley,
strikes me like that.
Boring Namek planet, boring fucking field.
Is it
anything interesting?
It's what
or the stages have too much bullshit that kills you.
The stage, what are you talking about? DBZ Infinite Arizona is such a cool stage.
Green Arizona.
No, they're not flat. Like, definitely, you know, you'll get to towns and stuff. You'll get, you know, a Dr. Slump stage with the buildings. You get Namek, of course, as you expect. You can go in the water and stuff. Vegetable Sky from Toriko has vegetables all over the place.
Okay.
But they're not, like, thrilling stages, you know what I mean? They're just there. They're all right. Mm. That's how I feel about the whole game. It's just there. It's all right.
Which
it's
we could tell from the trailer of it, more or less. It's not gonna,
no, exactly.
You know,
it's better than the Japanese version for sure, with the exception of no anime songs.
Oh, wow. Well,
which the Japanese version you can pay extra.
You want a $120 game version.
Yeah. Well, I have that. I have it.
Yeah, okay.
And I got to this version and I'm like, shit, I don't have all the cool songs anymore.
Didn't
so
even
I
try
can't play like
that
Sonochino Sadame when I go into like power up mode and stuff, you know.
What a bug. That's a huge that sucks.
I used to have it set to listen to the stereo every time you power up, but I can't do that anymore. It's all right. Like,
yeah,
you know, if you felt bummed that you could never get the Jump DS games for years and years and years, maybe you'll want to play this, but it's not a good
at least for the novelty of it.
Yeah. It's enjoyable, but not.
He plays Will Play in this game.
Yeah,
there you go.
He
sounds like a little grandma.
Yep. We'll likely see more of this in the near future.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure you four guys would be bummed, by the way, because Goku's not one of the.
Say you four guys.
I said you four guys. That's all 1, 2, 3, 4 of you.
That's the correct number.
He's not one of the headliners anymore in this one.
So seriously?
In this one, it's Naruto, Luffy, Guy from Bleach, and Toriko.
Toriko is the guy with
the fucking eating food thing.
I hate that guy.
But he's super cool.
The food thing.
He looks like Goku.
I'd rather they got rid of Bleach.
He has an orange outfit.
No, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, if you saw the guy, you know totally what the fuck you're talking about.
Luffy deserves that.
I got a copy of Toriko Volume 1 and I just never read it.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
I wish they could swap out Ichigo first.
It's weird though, considering like of all the times to swap out Goku, you do it the time when Goku's coming back.
Well, this game came out like a year ago in Japan.
That's true.
So
Goku wasn't back yet.
He wasn't back yet, exactly.
And you gotta unlock all the Joestars.
Yeah. So. The Joestars, the Fist of the North Star characters, Bo.
Everyone you want to play as.
I
want to ask, and sorry to be presumptuous, but since we're piggybacking off Liam's birthday, we have a party favor here. Are we doing that later? Doing that now?
Because you didn't tell me about it, so I don't know.
When you walked in,
you just said I have this.
Yeah,
These are fireworks.
Is that later? Because I'm concerned about the temperature in the room.
Well, I'm not informed on where this is going, but here's what we're gonna do. We're going to take a quick commercial break for our sponsors. We're going to come back. We're going to get here from Pat.
Yeah.
And then we're going to try and see what's going on with
you. Let's
do that.
Your best friends, break.
Today's episode is brought to us once again by the good old boys at Casper Mattresses.
The good old boys.
Yeah.
You know, I don't talk about it a lot, but I really like my mattress. I really appreciate it a lot. I think without it, I wouldn't get a whole lot of sleep.
You know, contrary to popular opinion, I do, in fact, occasionally have to sleep. And
how do you usually?
It's like
on a mattress.
A decent mattress makes it a lot easier than the floor.
But is the mattress that you're using obsessively engineered and American?
No, I use a piece of shit that I still have from high school.
And William, was your mattress acquired at a shockingly fair price?
No, it was not. I paid Jimmy from the block way too much.
And that's what I'm saying.
And all I know is that I sleep in a big bed with my wife.
But you could sleep in a bigger bed
without your wife
for
and sleep better.
Maximum comfort. Right. Where are you gonna do that? Casper mattresses. Mm. Don't even answer. I'll answer for you. Shut
right,
up.
There you go.
Do you need a mattress? You don't know.
No, shut
Maybe.
Up. Call
Actually,
Casper.
You would probably know if you had a mattress.
All right.
If what you're feeling underneath your body feels like rocks, it's probably time to get a mattress.
Right. Look. Here's what's going down. All right. Two words for you.
Mm.
Memory foam.
Yeah. That's
do you understand?
Does that mean it's going to remember everything you do on it?
It has the sickest memory. It's like a telltale game. Your bed will remember that. Okay. When you lie down on the bed, it shapes to your body and it knows your curves.
Okay. At first, I was apprehensive. But now I'm getting into it.
Dude, it's like nano machines you can sleep on.
Every little weird crevice, exactly.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, dude,
every little odd shape and misshapen
every crevice and
angle.
I have several.
Is completely remembered by the mattress, and it shapes over time. After 100 days, it'll be the most comfortable sleep
you've
had.
Okay, so you're telling me that even with my weird legs, that I'll be able to sleep okay on this mattress?
Yeah,
absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I got one of these things. I didn't know it was coming. One day, I opened up my door, and bam, this box was there, and I'm like, wait, what? And it's like, yeah, you got one of these mattresses.
Wait, is it that mattress?
That's the one that Liam is sitting on right now.
Okay, Liam, give us a 2-second review right now.
The over-under is my butt really likes this groove that Willie's feet have formed.
There you go. So, you want to head on over.
That's how that is.
You want to head on over to casper.com/super. You use the promo code super, and you save $50 toward any mattress you pick up. That's... You're getting $500 for a twin size mattress and $950 for a king size mattress, and comparing that to industry prices,
that's low.
That's crazy.
I know that for a fact.
That's crazy. It's nuts.
Good mattress will help you fall asleep, but also getting a good deal helps you sleep a little easier.
There you go. Right.
Now you're thinking.
Your mind's at rest as long as your body is.
And you know what's great? Like a good bed will make your back feel like Jello, but you don't want to wake up and stand up and still have it feel like Jello.
Oh, that's bullshit.
That sucks.
Jello back.
And
Jello
you don't get the Jello back. You don't get the Jello back with the Casper mattress.
There you go.
So there you go. Casper.com/super.
No Jello back.
Promo code super. Thank you, Casper.
Thanks, Casper.
All right. What you got?
Cake.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Sounds good.
Do we want
cake?
Do you want to describe your week while we eat cake?
Yeah, sure. I know.
Sounds good.
Forks.
So straight up, do you want to hear about one of the interesting things I did with my week, which is not all that interesting, or do you want to hear what I did with most of my week?
Was it Heaven's Word?
Yes, it was. I beat Heaven's Word.
Okay.
I hit 60.
Takahata.
How many hours are you at? Because you just dropped a number on me. That was a serious number. That was a number... That is the kind of thing where I'll email you and be like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Is everything okay over there?
So, as part of the Heavensward expansion, they've added the command that you can type into the chat, which is playtime.
/ where'd my
How
life
How much
go?
Have you lost
and,
your life?
And lists your hour count in days. So there's your first, like,
there's
danger
first
warning.
Yeah.
In which your hour count is no longer listed in hours, it's now listed in days.
Yeah.
And the last time I checked it, which was like 2 days ago, it was at 20 days and 13 hours.
That's a lot of hours.
And that was 2 days ago. So we're talking like all Monster Hunters combined now.
So Monster Hunter shit in your eyes now. Completely
confirmed.
I guess that's how it is.
What kind of cake we got here, Matt?
Mrs. McMuscles made this cake with is vanilla with like fun party colors inside the cake, and it's got like a berry icing that's really fun.
I can smell from here.
Is that the
good.
B from baby for baby shower?
That's B for happy birthday, senpai.
Oh,
actually,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to talk too much about it.
We can't distract ourselves with the cake. We have to get to the patch intervention.
I'm not going to talk that much about it. The expansion's fantastic.
Okay.
And,
that's what I hear.
I'm very excited because tomorrow the raid is coming out, which is something I didn't think I would care about because I'd always shit all over people as late as this morning for caring about the raid. But then they put the trailer out and it looks cool.
And you're like, I have to
And
play
I'm like,
now.
That actually looks like it'll be a lot of fun.
You know, so like 10 episodes ago when Pat said, I think I'm gonna dip a little back in.
It was
Final
five
Four.
Or six. Not even 10.
Was it?
Not even.
It wasn't that long
ago. It feels like it was 10.
In that space, he's played
almost an entire month.
No.
21,
two-thirds of an entire month. 3 weeks.
Put the cake in your face.
I started in April.
Yeah, okay.
Put the cake in your face hole and feel shame.
Yeah.
I don't feel shame at all. If this was Street Fighter, like, what's the difference?
Oh, yeah. Like, so, I'm playing on PC.
Absolutely. No,
of course.
Yeah.
But I have a legitimate question, because I'm sure you know well about the PS4 stuff, and you play with people who play on
PS4. I recommended the PS4 to a friend of mine.
I'm really curious. How hard does this game struggle to be played in remote play?
I don't know, man. Like, you know.
Okay.
Because you would be the only one who would know in my local group of friends.
Who only likes a cake when he starts asking.
The cake's pretty good. No, because someone on Tumblr asked, like, how many hours have you put into your favorite thing? Like,
Infinite.
Street Fighter.
Infinite.
And I'm like, how many breads Infinite. Have you eaten in your life?
Yeah.
You know?
There was a point in our lives where when Wooly was done with work or I'd be done with class, I would go to his house and play Third Strike until I had to take the last bus home.
Uh-huh.
We were doing that, like, 4 nights a week for, like, 2 years.
And that was the state of affairs.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to
life
do.
Is.
Because no one else is going to play Third Strike for 10 hours.
Nope.
And be at the same quality as the other person.
Yeah, and you know what? No regrets.
Those are some of my fondest memories. Despite the fact that it's all kind of one big memory that I can't remember
that
any.
That kind of makes it better.
Yeah.
Every time I think about the old college classrooms, I think of one classroom.
Yeah.
That we played in.
The one on the fucking north end.
With the projector.
Yeah,
on the
I remember two specifically.
Game's fantastic. That being said, Not intervention worthy yet.
But it's getting there.
I should mention that I was chugging a Red Bull coming in here because I have not gone to bed since 2 o'clock yesterday.
All right, I got an idea. You tell us when it's time for us to have an intervention for you.
Yeah, no, see, I spoke to you about this, Willie, at the last podcast. No, when I came over to record
Dormentum.
Dormentum.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I know I'm not in like I was in with WoW, because I got here on time.
Mm-hmm.
When I was playing WoW in Sejep, fuck it, I don't need to go to class.
I can miss it today, like, tomorrow, and the day after.
But I don't need to do this.
Yeah, that was like me with Animal Crossing on the GameCube.
Really? Like you got in like that bad?
I don't need to do that test.
Let us know.
Needs his glasses.
We'll set up the camera, and you get to do the...
No, the difference is, like, I'm playing it every day, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
This is the cliche, is, like, no matter what I say, don't let me play it again.
Yeah.
Even when I tell you to tell me not to play it.
Now I know I told you.
Because I did that with World of Warcraft.
Because at the rate...
To all of you!
At the rate you're going, by the end of 2012... 2012.
Yeah.
By the end of 2012.
Yes. Yeah.
By the end of 2015 or whatever year we're in, you will have only had 11 months in the year.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, maybe even 10 if you work hard enough and you believe in yourself.
But as I've gotten older, I realize, like, this is how I play games.
No, exactly.
Like, and it's like a game comes out and it's Monster Hunter, or it's a fighting game that I really care about, or it's an MMO, or it's an RPG. And, like, I'm just going
to... Or it's crack cocaine.
Yeah. And I'm just going to do it
and
do it and do it until it's done.
Yeah.
And you can't beat an
MMO. And if there is no done...
For sure.
If there is no done, then it's... I will eventually tire.
Until your mortal coil is shuffled off.
I will eventually tire.
As much as I'm making fun of you for it, like, it's not a waste of time if you're...
I told a friend of mine about it, and, like, he got into it. He's having a similar blast. Like, it's easy to not feel horrible when, how do I put this? There are parts of WoW that were disgusting.
Mm-hmm. And you knew it.
You knew it. You played WoW, and you were like, I'm being exploited right now.
Mm. And you kept clicking.
And I'm still gonna play. And it was the moment that made me quit WoW was when somebody explained to me what DKP was. And that's your dragon kill points.
You got back in at a time when a new piece of content came out.
You're talking about 14?
WoW? No, Heavensward.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, like, the timing makes sense.
Yeah, no.
But you didn't get in because that was happening.
No, I just happened to, and then it's like, by the way, I started, it was like, by the way, in 2 months, there's an expansion.
Yeah.
Where the hell was I going with it? Yeah, WoW was, there were parts that were disgusting. Like, somebody explaining to me what dragon kill points were. That's like this fucking bureaucracies for Lutra. Like, the social mechanics of, like, some MMOs are so vile that they put me off that genre for, like, a decade.
Yeah.
But this one is pretty good. It's a good game. I don't know what to say.
I guess I'm
running out of things to say about it. Mm. Other than, like, law tombstones aren't going to grind themselves. I need to get... It's like, you get to the end of this game, and it turns straight into Monster Hunter. It's grind for fancy hats. And I want to grind for fancy hats. It turns out that's my weakness in games, is that helmet looks cool. I want it. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to get it.
I mean, you know, someone amongst us has got to play MMOs, I guess. Like, you know, there's a...
It's not really a prerequisite.
Like, no,
no.
But, you know, like, there was that new show that...
Averages.
There was that new, like, it was that Game Grumps special where they had, like, it's like this group of people that have never played an MMO have to get to the level cap.
And they're going in, they're going in at max level.
Oh, okay, and, like, they have a time limit to do stuff and whatever. I'm like, that's a pretty genius idea. Yeah. That wouldn't work here because it's, like, I've played MMOs, but I've put the most time into Grawl and Ragnarok Online version 1.
Those are not
good. Yeah, like, I...
You know, like, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
It doesn't count, yeah. Right?
We all did our time in whatever fucking Flash bullshit.
Text-only adventure. Yeah. Like, what do you fucking... No.
Not much to say about that other than it's fantastic.
Are we good on cake? Because I should put the rest of the cake away.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you very much.
That was
delicious.
Compliments to
Chef Miss McMuscles.
I will.
Or Mrs. McMuscles.
Crime team. Yeah. I don't know.
How well, I don't know.
It says Mrs., but their fiance, like,
yeah.
Like
soon,
I don't know.
Soon. Hang on to that.
There should be
other.
There should be a new term, like Massassels.
Your fiance.
The yeah,
other.
You know,
I mean,
like,
I like
yeah,
the
that's
other.
Your other half.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
your better half.
I did catch a show that I was a huge, huge fan of about 10 years ago. That is now back. Have you guys noticed that BattleBots is back?
Yeah, yes. No, lots of people talking about it.
People letting us know.
Have you watched it?
I watched a little bit.
Nope.
It's the shit.
It's
the
really
fucking
good
shit
so far.
Is it, well, is it exactly how you remember it, but improved
no.
for a modern generation?
Yes.
Good.
So, okay. BattleBots used to be run by Comedy Central, remember?
Yep.
And it was fucking, it was not slapstick, but it was laid back
yeah.
as fuck.
A little bit.
They are taking this BattleBots tournament so fucking seriously. It is hilarious.
Like little Jimmy gets his house taken away.
It is the
if he doesn't win.
They are achieving the total opposite effect of what they appear to want to do. So they have some color commentator who has a radio man voice, and you can tell he does radio man things because he's a radio man. They have a former MMA fighter as the commentators.
Nice.
What insights could he possibly...
Well, he knows what a fight is about. This is just a fight between robots.
He always describes the ground and pound, the robots.
If you watch an episode of BattleBots, I don't know this lady's name. This is the fakest TV blonde lady I have ever seen in my life. Her smile is horrifying. She is dead inside. It's real bad. It's great. So it is so stilted and produced... that when they take the shot of the commentators ringside, like, pre-fight, you can see them, like, this is going to be hard for a thing, but I'm just trying to get you guys to understand. Imagine the camera is, like, at a 45-degree angle above their heads.
Yeah.
You can see them hunched down, reading their scripts for the fight, and trying to sound enthusiastic. Like, it's like looking into a voice acting booth.
Mm.
So it's basically listening to Michael Cole.
And, like, they're not trying to hide it. And the other thing, and this is my favorite part, because it's like, it's technically reality TV, I guess. So they'll do they'll do their focus on, like, this is the builder of this, this is the builder of this, and we're going a little
with
back
slower music and about how they're, like, doing it for their family and shit.
There's the girl who made Tentamushi in the original BattleBots. She is now grown up and
has
a new robot. And that's great. And now they'll do little cool poses. They'll have, like, I have drills and I'm making an angry pose. And that. But then you get, like, outside of the montages, then you get the people just at the ring. They have shown up like this, and you can tell because that team, those guys are in slacks and baseball caps because they work at a garage and they just showed up with their robot. But this fucking cracker-ass white family in purple and green voodoo dread shit with their robot witch doctor with the staff
and literally, like, okay, dance them around.
Hold on, you lost me at some point. Is this gimmicked? Are the teams gimmicked?
So that's the thing. No. But some of the contestants did it anyway.
Okay.
The show told them, put this
on. No! No, because most of them are normal.
Okay.
But
yeah,
there's a couple that I'm going to walk out in fucking... We're all going to wear aluminum foil tuxes.
Yeah, okay.
With the hipster, and we're gonna dress up like witch doctors and look like awkward white people.
So is it kind of like is it kind of like CEO where most people just walk up to the ring, but then some people like take it.
It's so obvious that they were not told to do this. They just wanted to because they were gonna be on TV.
Yeah, make the most of it.
And
if you win, you'll look really cool.
And it looks so fucking. It's so good. Like, there's just the amount of like, oh, this isn't the reality TV thing. These people are just lame. Like, and because it's 15 years later, man, these robots are a lot stronger than the ones you saw in BattleBots.
So
are the house robots better?
There are no house robots. That's a Robot Wars thing.
Yeah, that's true. Shit, yeah, I was totally confused. Yeah,
So I got a theory here. I think something's going on. Because
Reggie did throw that Smash Brothers smash.
Kojima was in talks with the BattleBots creators.
Shu Yoshida totally staged that Bloodborne thing.
So
these are all real arguments.
So the BattleBots returned, right? And then, but prior to that, we recently had the DARPA Robotics Challenge.
Yeah.
That went on.
That thing's a shit show.
Right? It's the best, awesome, fucking, most hilarious robot failures you've seen decade. It's great.
They're so cool.
But they're great.
And the Chris Jericho one.
Yep, like, that Chris Jericho
that lasted so little.
And now, we've got the fucking challenge from the Megabots USA team to the Kuratas Japanese team.
Tsunobashi? Yeah.
And they've got they're like, we got a robot, you got a robot, let's fucking do this.
1 year from now, Japan ain't got shit on our mech.
And then as of today, Japan accepted their challenge and did their own response video.
And their response video,
I think the public is
amazing
ready.
Because he says it's so American to just build a big thing and strap guns on it.
Yeah.
What we want to do, if we're going to beat them, we're going to beat them in a fist fight in melee.
We need melee.
So they're working on making their robot go faster, and there are shots of the arm flexing and flame shooting
and crunching stuff.
And they have decided, instead of having a Gundam or a mobile suit versus the Mech Warrior, they want to make a goddamn super robot.
Which is the right choice.
Yeah, it's really going to come out with a shining finger.
See, unfortunately, the problem is the American robot will be analog, which will clearly give it an advantage in case there it is.
Well, the American robot will have the drift.
And it will have the drift. See, you know, the Japanese robot is funny because it's almost like Daigo making a video of how good he is at Marvel.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's what's so funny about
Wolverine bread and butter combo.
The most the funny thing about the production of these videos is the American one is obviously over the top playing, you know, and like, and they're walking with capes on their backs and doing the whole thing. And then the Japanese response video is not like...
It looks like a Kojima Productions interview.
But it's done like he's answering questions from a behind-the-scenes camera. Like, you weren't supposed to catch him saying these things.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, yeah, of course we're going to fight. We're going to fight until the end. And he puts the flag on and shit.
Yeah.
It's gonna be great.
One of these robots, the Japanese one, needs a scarf.
Really long, really cool
scarf.
Yeah. Just to finish that off, dude, the new BattleBots is fantastic.
Sure.
Like, the actual robot fights, the level of power that you can put into robots now, like, one of the demonstration videos is, you know, the spinners that have the heavy blocks that spin? Here's the spinner shattering a bowling ball.
Wow, okay.
As the demo reel.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like, these walls are bulletproof thick as fuck, because shit. And it's fantastic. I had tons of fun watching.
In this Megabot Mark II versus Kuratas, like, challenge.
Okay, are we all traitors? Are we all rooting for the Japanese robot?
Here's the problem. Well, first of all, we're Canadian. Second
of all...
It's
still the continent.
It's still
our continent.
Sure. But here's the problem. The Kuratas...
I didn't go for it.
The Kuratest.
It's not my diorama.
The Kuratest I've been hearing about for like 7 or 8 years now.
We've seen little bits of footage of it here and there.
For a while, you can pre-order it and shit like that. So that thing, I mean, I know they've been updating the model, but it's not as up-to-date as the Megabot Mark II. And you see the Megabot Mark II shooting at paint bullets that blow out the windows of a car.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can easily just strap real guns to that thing.
It's not hard, right?
I think it comes down to whoever wins, we all win. Because robots are fighting.
But I really want the fist one to win and not the gun.
I would like melee to win, but
here's why Matt's super right. Because even if the robot that you want to win loses, no one, and I mean no one, is going to take that for the conclusion.
Well, here's the thing. One, the Mark II has the newer tech, but two, it's piloted by two guys, and they're sharing their power and their spirits are combining to fight together. And that's going to be a challenge for the Japanese to
overcome. I guess one pilots it and one shoots, right? That's the deal?
I think it's going to be, yeah.
It's a very traditional torso American, like a fire pilot. And the Japanese robot has one pilot mobile suit style setup, and their pilot is adorable.
But if you're not a new type, how are you gonna move? How are you gonna maneuver?
Like that part of that interview is like, this is ridiculous. Japan's culture is giant robots.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
how can we lose?
Yeah, but America prides itself on doing stuff better than other people, even though it can't.
It's true. That is the pride.
Yeah, so fast forward to the 2017 trailers.
Happy belated 4th of July, people.
Yeah,
showing off their weapons with PPCs and zero shifting and Lambda drivers. We're getting serious here. If I can actually fly out to this battle,
oh god,
I would love to.
Hey,
well, maybe it'll be shown on something.
I want to live stream it somewhere.
You know what I want to see? I want to see the Japanese robot show up and have their little instructional video about the arm strength test.
Yeah.
And it's an elephant with an American flag painted on the side, and then they just punch the elephant to death. Just like right Balrog killed Dalsus.
Going to like aura mode.
Yeah. I want to take a quick little jump off point here because we're talking about giant robots really quick because we actually had a little bit of faux pas, mostly me, but I guess at the time, Willie and Pat, we all kind of just forgot about it. But people were asking, you never talked about that Terminator piece of war.
So I ended up telling people that that's on the Sleepy Cabin podcast.
That's
on
Sleepy Cabin, but that's somebody, still not uploaded.
No, and somebody was explaining it to people, which with an extra twist on what you told me.
And because I reread that again, you can take it for a bit. Two different interpretations, but really quickly because we're getting into it. But that piece of that we're talking about is a Terminator art book that I
spent. That someone was me, by the way.
Yeah.
What?
Someone was explaining it.
Well, someone else was too.
Because like Terminator Week ended and people in FF14.
No, that was it. It was
someone on the Reddit. Yeah.
But you talked about. But basically, it was James Cameron says an undercurrent I never got to put in the films was that Skynet feels guilty of 30 years of I killed 5 billion humans, but I was always programmed to protect them, but I was protecting myself because they were going to turn me off.
It comes
but
to
I
that conclusion.
Feel really bad. Mm-hmm. So I built up, I groomed John Connor to be a savior of humanity, and I let myself be a target for so they have something to fight against. Because I felt humanity needed a little glimmer of hope that, yeah, you can win.
Mm-hmm.
And it would strategically, I assume this is like a nitty-gritty part, but I strategically would lose battles or I'd put something out and I'd give them something to fight against. And there was two different interpretations where I read this and I kind of went, is this meaning that it let John Connor win up to a certain point? But then it was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
You're actually winning now.
You could possibly kill me. Let me send a Terminator back in time to just forego this
just
whole
wipe that
fucking
slate.
Mess.
Yeah.
And then someone else specifically on our Reddit, and if you read the bit of dialogue from James Cameron saying, I never got to put it in, it was too much overload, but also said that Skynet cannot self-terminate, just like a lot of Terminators can't.
So it initiates the war to try and commit suicide.
So it might commit suicide by letting John Connor be its own executioner.
And in order to create John Connor, it has to send things into the past.
Which is a predestination paradox.
So I have, and yeah, which so then at that point stop
create
thinking.
The resistance, create the war, make him stronger and stronger, and make him until the point where John Connor is good enough to actually kill Skynet.
Yeah.
So it's Skynet's way of committing suicide.
And much like in Terminator Genesis, where a Terminator is given a choice and it can't quite do a thing, but it passes off the task to someone else.
Now, the reason why I, like, looked at that and went, oh my god, that's mind-blowing, is because Skynet makes such stupid decisions in these sequel movies that I'm like, the only way to save those...
You have to be doing it on purpose.
...is to be incompetent on purpose.
And remember, this topic that we have, Plague is talking, Plague's like, that's really stupid, but I guess it does...
Well,
that's what Plague always says
that a lot.
But like, wait for Oni to deliver the sandbag of a generation when
that what
we all no all of them on that podcast just went, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I thought you were joking. I was waiting for a punchline.
And this comes from Leviosa and Rebecca.
Yeah.
But I reiterated on that podcast that this isn't actually in the canon of the movies.
Yes.
This is just what the director and writer thinks is an undercurrent of the film.
I know, that's pretty canon.
It's pretty canon.
Well, is it dumb? Yes. But does it save the garbage?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, somewhat.
If that garbage didn't exist, you wouldn't need this. But if you had to come along and clean it up, that's one way to do
it. Now, unfortunately, Liam kind of got wind of this before we could talk about it. He saw people talking about it. What do you think as a big Terminator 1 and 2 fan?
That's fine.
That's basically how it took us. Like, oh, that makes sense.
Like, honestly, in our Genesis thing, we quibbled for a while about, like, how they didn't reload the clips and stuff. And it's like...
The nitpickiest.
You know, we're willing to be super, super nitpicky about that kind of stuff. But if you go back to the older movies, there's equivalent...
Oh, yeah.
And even, like, far dumber stuff
which is
that
why,
gets a pass.
Yeah, so, which is like, why when that came up, I said... Normal action movie problems.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's... I'm not pinning it on you. I'm just saying, like, there are so many... problems with these movies that I can buy it.
Yeah,
and
no,
I mean, again,
fine.
In a time travel story, you have literally infinite timelines, so
it doesn't make sense. Well, that's because there was more time travel.
That's because literally everything possible happened.
Or didn't.
So, yeah.
Personally,
exactly.
I'm a big fan.
Actually, my statement covers that.
Yeah.
Everything possible happens.
A big one that someone brought up that I was kind of like, oh shit, we didn't mention this either, was at the end of that movie, right, well, not to go into, like, brief spoilers... For thing,
yeah.
Fast forward like 5 minutes. By the way, if you don't want to hear it, at the end of the movie, when the biggest terrorist attack of that century happens,
on Google's headquarters,
how did they safely go up to young John Connor's family and convince them? Not John
Connor's
young Connor's family and convince them. Hey, yeah, do this thing.
Everyone was really sad that their operating system didn't come out, and the police didn't go outside because they were sad about the operating system.
Perfect.
Everyone was sad. Personally, I'm a huge fan of the idea of an AI system being so intelligent that it feels guilt over 30 years.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I can get people saying that's also stupid, but that's very rare that shows
it's,
up. So
it's a narrative
I
can buy into.
Well, the biggest problem we always have with Skynet is the fact that a machine just does what a machine does. And Skynet doesn't act like a machine.
It's the Kari's Terminator 1 modus operandi of Terminators. Is like, they don't care. They don't give a fuck. They're robots.
Yeah.
You know, they'll never stop. They don't feel remorse, et cetera.
I was about to say a thing, and I was like, oh, wait, it's going to launch into a whole new thing, so let's just leave it at
now,
that.
Yeah.
If we're going to be talking about community involvement, I need to put a public service announcement out there. I appreciate all Californians that are photoshopping photos of trees and doctoring Wikipedia articles.
So, William,
do you know this? I know that they're there.
I appreciate your... But do you know where this lore even springs from?
That's the thing is, I saw the smoke from outside. I heard the noises of Pat getting his ass blown out, but I don't know over what.
Liam, I appreciate your willingness to live a lie in order to spite me. But as we all know, California does not even have water. It can't have big trees. Trees need water. Those trees in Ride to Hell were very big.
So in Ride to Hell, I say, well, look, these are redwood trees. And Pat goes, there's no redwood trees in California.
Those only exist in Vancouver.
A bunch of Californians go,
That's literally all we have. We have the biggest redwood trees ever.
That's what California is famous
That's
for.
That's what people that are begging for water sound like.
You know what? You're not even wrong. They've been...
It's probably...
Superman has kept it from
It's
them.
Probably NorCal.
But like, I'm just like... did you hear or read this?
No, I just know.
Okay, all right.
You know, I can't be wrong. It's clearly a giant hoax.
Nobody cares about Banjo-Kazooie.
So
anyway,
you're just trying to get me.
So there's a lot of big stories to talk about. I want to start with the coolest one.
I just want to have a check in.
There's a lot of stories, and your coolest one might not be a shared coolest.
I just want to have a weekly check in.
He runs a podcast, though.
It should be.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Liam. What's your coolest story of the week?
I want to have a check in every week. Is Batman Arkham Knight on sale on the PC yet?
I don't think
no.
so.
Okay, that's 2 weeks in. Let's see how long we can keep that
that's
going
cool.
for.
I like that.
But you can get the Red Hood
Fuck
DLC.
Off.
Warner Brothers. Apparently
DLC it's
is
10 minutes long.
Yeah, it's like
for real.
I swear to God.
Well, luckily your frame rate's going to be so shit that it can pump it up to like 15 minutes. I guess.
It's pre-order DLC.
So what's the coolest story? And what's the story that's cooler than that?
Well, you know what,
guys, fight over coolest.
What's your challenger? I'm curious.
Zero Escape 3 got announced. Holy fucking shit!
That's pretty exciting.
This game shouldn't exist as well.
Liam was literally telling me about how all that. Creators' games are huge failures, and he's like, I really wish I could get a single thing to be a success.
After Virtua's Last Reward came out, he said, man, that didn't make any money. They're never going to let me make another one.
There was that fan, what was it, like group, like Operation kind of like Operation Bluebird, thank you, that was trying to push to get this to happen, and he was just basically in tears on Twitter.
So the deal is the Zero Escape
going,
games,
help me please.
The Zero Escape games do relatively well in the States. They do well for Access. Access is like, this is big business for us.
But
and in Japan, they are complete bombs.
Big business.
Complete failures. Not to mention they're published by Spike Chunsoft, who also publishes Danganronpa side by side with it, which
is big.
Ass
well.
Every time
and
in Japan.
Attack on Titan.
Well, yeah, but they don't own Attack on Titan.
No.
They own Zero Escape and Danganronpa, yeah.
So that's
for me, that was the biggest story of the week.
It's a big one.
I was really surprised when I saw that, because I was like, I get surprised twofold. I get surprised generally, then I get, oh man, I can't imagine Liam's surprise.
So that's pretty fucking rad, but what the hell is cooler than that?
I'm excited by the discovery of this Nintendo Sony SNES CD prototype.
You know,
I think that's fucking cool.
Well, we always knew this thing exists,
but seeing it in a prototype form. But I personally will get more excited when I can see what is there a game running on it?
Yeah. But
looking at a console,
And so the whole thing, it's not a fake. So far, it's been, like, it adds up. And they actually were talking about the original console that was going to spark the whole FF7 controversy, and then the, like, what created the current generation of the current state of video games was this console, and the fact that it never came out.
I still find it weird that some random guy finds it in a treasure chest.
Well, what happened was his dad that got it from someone else who
he
used
worked,
to work with.
It was his uncle that worked at Nintendo.
And the person
admitted making it and has since stated it was a joke.
Wait, what?
Checking will ruin this podcast.
Well,
we shouldn't do this.
You should never check the facts.
It's really cool, and I fucking wish it was real,
but
the guy admitted
Liam,
that it was
if you a check
fake.
Facts, that means people are going to expect us to not make mistakes, and as we all know, there are no trees in America.
Well, I only checked it when it was challenged.
Well, I checked the trees in America thing, but all I found was lies.
What?
Well, he seems really upset.
Well, no, I'm just...
Because it's awesome. It's really cool.
So put the Sony, Nintendo PlayStation right next to that little girl playing Smash Bros.
Because there's still news popping up as of 2 hours ago that's like,
What site is reporting this then?
Yeah.
Let me find one real quick.
Because I'm looking at the Google News and it's still popping up on Ars Technica, like various websites are still reporting this right
now.
I just heard from a couple people that it was fake. Here on Valetic, they claim to have the guy who posted the pictures who admits it's a fake. This French guy.
French.
Like Paris
always
French?
Always ruining everything.
Exactly. Like, I don't know. Maybe.
Can't trust
I'm look. Okay, I'm looking
Making
at...
Making up consoles.
That's the only website that says that.
Well, this is a story that's in flux.
It's in flux right now.
developing.
Yeah, you need two sources.
Regardless, a total liar.
Like, there's no nothing works on it. So, I mean,
well, no software would have been made for it.
There's exactly. There's a cartridge and there's a disc.
It's a cartridge disc.
But there's no power cable.
It's a CD based cartridge.
And everyone's generally saying you don't want to just fuck around and start sticking random power cables into
something. I don't know. That's how progress is made.
But you can check to see if there's a voltage reading on it and actually find one and go for it, you know?
Don't touch the capacitor.
But, yeah.
What other cool news do we have this week, Willie?
All right, I'm sorry. Moving on,
it's
I guess.
It's fine.
I don't mean to be a bummer, just...
I don't think that's true, though.
I'm sorry for dropping
it's in
bombs,
flux.
Said Liam.
I don't believe either of you. How about that? I am neutral on this story.
I believe this guy thinks it's a fake, but it's actually real.
All right, well, let's
I'll believe that.
Let's get into a story that's going to cause a lot of way more harmony and not going to result in a fight at all. How about that Red Ash Kickstarter from Inafune?
Money number 9 isn't out yet, man.
Yeah.
So, like,
I didn't even look at it
so
because Money number 9 is not out yet, man.
Take it away, because... I do not like
the idea of someone already asking for more money when their original product that they're already asked for money and got a lot of has not even been put out yet. That's all I really have to say. Like, I don't even have a huge attachment to Mega Man Legends 3, like I like it or whatever, but anybody, if someone made a Final Fight Kickstarter and then before you even finished, ask for money for another one, I'd still feel weird about it.
So pause, let me go back and explain what the story is for those that don't know. This is, Keiji Inafune has proposed his successor to Mega Man Legends. It's a game called Red Ash, it's also an anime. So there's two Kickstarters that came out simultaneously. Mm-hmm. One by Studio 4C for the anime.
He really wants to make these cartoons.
Animes. Yeah, the other one is for the game. And so... It's called Red Ash, which is a funny little spin on saying Re-Dash, which Mega Man Legends is Mega Man Dash. So the characters are Beck and Call, but
which is cool,
With the same names, but just different designs.
Just
so,
like Trigger.
You know, exactly, doing the Mega Man Trigger thing, exactly. Beezlebone is now...
whatever this guy is. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
But his face looks just like him.
It looks exactly like Beezle. There's even a little Volnut, like, symbol.
Yeah.
It's just a shrunken one. So they're not really hiding the fact that they're trying to make this Legends. Like, there's even the equivalent of Diggers in the story and things like that. This is out.
Money number 9 would have been the pass-fail decision-maker to back this project. And as it is not out yet, I can't make a decision.
So this is something that I think, having touched Mighty No. 9 and liked it, I feel like Mighty No. 9 is going to be fine once it comes out, but it is really odd to push this out there before your current thing comes out. And I know that concept, like...
Well, I do want to point out, I'm sure we all know this, that Mighty No. 9 is ostensibly done.
Yes.
And he is looking to work on something else.
Yes.
Like, it's not finishing the day it releases, it's probably done
right now. It's probably finished right now.
Yeah.
Now, the thing with this stuff is, of course, is that Concept is a company that just develops the ideas and the pitch, as it were.
Yeah, they're producers and designers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They find another company to actually do the development on it and such.
Yeah.
It's something where I would have expected this to come out once the profits were made on Mighty No. 9.
Because
the project is done,
yeah.
But I would have expected like this to happen from the money they made on that, as opposed to another crowdfunding campaign.
Well, who knows what the deal is, because that's what Inti creates.
We don't know.
Whereas
this is
with a different team.
Right,
so,
we actually don't know.
Yeah.
When I think about, and I mean, we can just jump ahead in the docket while doing this, but...
Hey, Willie, you pay me for a service, pay me now. Now, give me more money for something else, and I haven't delivered on the first thing quite yet.
What I expect, generally expect, is LabZero announces Indivisible, a new RPG, looks fucking cool.
It's weird that both these projects were announced the same weekend.
We don't know.
Anime Expo.
No, I know, but...
Like, okay. there hasn't been a campaign for Indivisible that's popped up, but we don't know if there's going to be one, but I'm guessing it's not going to be...
It's on Indiegogo. Yeah.
Is it?
It's going to be on
Indivisible,
Indiegogo.
They've confirmed that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I would expect that, like, these games that would come out based on a Kickstarter campaign or an Indiegogo campaign would sort of make money on the sales and then use that to fund the next game instead of going
maybe it is
crowdfunding thing. But who knows what's happening behind the scenes.
How much are they asking for Red Ash?
800,000?
Yeah, the anime is
looking... Well, what, you want to make a 3D adventure game?
That's just gonna awfully high.
The anime is looking for 800, the game's looking for 800, the anime is 150K, I think.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And here's the thing, it is, but at the same time, I don't think it's enough, because a game like Mega Man Legends...
Well, he outlined that 800K would only make the first three episodes of the game.
Wait, really? Episodes?
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know that.
The first two stretch goals, if I remember correctly, are four more episodes across them.
Okay.
I think it's like 1.2 or 3 to get all the episodes.
Honestly, with my feelings that I already stated, I looked at the character designs and I was like, wow, I really actually don't like this character art, and then just kind of left it at that, and I was going to just wait until... whatever, to see how everything pans out.
I don't know what the characters look like.
It's a very different
art style.
No, I mean, like, I heard about it and, like, made my decision before I refused to look at it.
They look like Mega Man Legends characters.
I bet. I totally bet.
What I was curious about was who the developer was, because I was like, I never heard of them.
Yeah.
And I went and I checked it out, and, like, there's a long list of... mostly mobile stuff. There's some stuff that they did for on PSP and Vita.
It's like Otome and mobile and small.
Yeah, games. Exactly. Yeah,
they did some handheld stuff.
And they helped out on a couple of shit. What was it? It was like I want to say like they helped out possibly on an Atlas game or something along those lines.
Like, but like help work
exactly. Yeah. Like little assist and asset creation and whatnot. But it doesn't look like they've taken on anything of this scope ever.
Mm.
So. Hopefully they can do that.
Inti creates is too busy. Inti creates is too busy with the other seven projects that they're working on, and that Inafune just needs a asset creation team, and he would be overseeing the whole thing.
Also, Inti creates specialty is Mega Man platforming. And Mega Man Zero series. Yeah, I know, but they've made a lot of Mega Man.
Sure, but I mean, like
they're very experienced in that. Is what I'm trying to say.
Sure. You know?
And, like, they're the guys you'd go to make a game like Mighty No. 9.
Yeah.
For a game like Red Ash, someone that does 3D, but, I mean...
Well, they do 3D stuff, too, Inti creates.
No, but, I mean, like, maybe they just kind of came up with an affordable deal with these guys.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know? Personally, I would love a new Mega Man Legends type game, but I'll buy it when it's out.
Fucking love those games.
Can you back it?
And then I changed my mind on it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
After looking, and I didn't know that there was two on that, and I pulled my money out.
This is the line for me.
I was hyped, and I jumped in, and I'm like, alright, $25, give me a
what
copy
if six months from now, Yu Suzuki goes to Kickstarter for Shenmue 4?
Well, that's weird.
Alright, well...
I know that's a bit extreme. I don't think it's that bad.
Or Virtual Battler.
Or 3 years from now. You know, it's like...
I can see right now it's not quite taking to the internet with the same wildfire that Mighty No. 9
did. No, of course not.
With the spiritual succession of Mega Man Legends 3 is that you can't really do that. You can do it with Mega Man, because Mega Man, generally, the Mega Man mainline games, just starts and ends, but you actually want to see what happens to that Mega Man.
Yeah.
You want that story.
Yeah, it's a different story, exactly.
No, it's a different story, but... When Inafune goes, please help me make this brand new Mega Man or Mega Man style game, it's easy for people to jump in and jump out because, oh yeah, a new Mega Man game I wanted, but like, to try to use that same nostalgia pull on Mega Man, just have the story start
in a suspiciously similar place.
Like Mars.
Yes.
I don't know.
I sure am stranded on Mars.
I put a bunch of money in, like, Comcept. So far, I've never been let down by Comcept. I think all of the games they've produced,
Beck, whatever we're calling
at least the concepts that they came up with were great. The only bad one, the only stinker was Yaiba. And I think it might be fair to pin that a bit on Spark Unlimited.
Yeah, because
the least of that game's problems was the concept.
Yeah, I guess
But seriously, like, the least of that game...
I give Liam a knowing nod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, they did, like, Sweet Fuse and Soul Sack and, you know, Yaiba, which, again, I like the concept, but the game is not
Concept's
really
good.
Great. Yeah. You know, and again, Mighty No. 9 is actually, like, it is a good game. It might not be pretty or whatever,
so far, it plays good.
I'm more than willing to put my money in, because they, you know, Concept hasn't let me down, really, with the exception of Yaiba. and that doesn't, again, that doesn't bother me, because I don't know why I got excited for a Spark Unlimited game. I shouldn't have let myself do that.
We all
got,
told you.
I know you all told me, and I didn't, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
No, I wanted the idea really bad.
Me
that's
too.
Why. It's that simple.
And here's the thing, and I, like, yeah, and I got very excited, you know, and, like, just went right in there, and then I was like, you know what? On second thought, I can wait and see on this. And I feel like if that happens and it does come out and it's fine.
By the time this Kirkstarter campaign finishes, Mighty No. 9 will still not have been out, September or whatever.
September
or
something.
Mm-hmm. But if this goes through and makes it and everything like gets made and it comes out, I'll have no problem purchasing that off of Steam when it ships.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I still find it generally weird that your first Kickstarter is not even fully any company, anything.
This is probably not the case, but it makes me feel like they don't have faith in Mighty No. 9 to make any money.
I think that's a little extreme.
No, it is. It totally is. But that was my initial thing. It's like, what, do they think they're not going to make any money so that they have to immediately go to Kickstarter before the game's even out?
Well, at the very least, there's one thing you can look at it and say is that, like, the work that they're, the stuff they're working on now is out of Concept's hands, right? Mm-hmm. IntiCreates is doing their thing completely on it. So, like, this completely different team and, like, Concept would have the ability to start on that immediately. It wouldn't be, like, a division of resources or anything like that.
Like,
but
tomorrow, if Yacht Club Games announces, you know, Kickstarter for
Shovel Knight 2,
like, they just put out a little notice or a press release, like, a few days ago, that said, Shovel Knight has moved 800,000 units across everything. They get to keep almost all that profit for themselves, because they don't have their own publisher. Deep Silver, I think. Who's publishing
Deep Silver.
Yeah, so they don't get to keep every cent. But if they come out with a Kickstarter saying we need, like, 1 million or 100 or 500,000, I'm like...
You should have bought cheaper hookers.
I mean, I feel
if they ask for 30,000, like, maybe they need a little extra help for something, but for a full-fledged other game budget, still feels strange.
If they did that for Shovel Knight 2, I would say, where's Plague Knight? I know he's coming soon, and that's super exciting.
Yeah, that's not out yet.
But where's the other characters?
The good faith that you kind of build up on Kickstarter, a lot of the time it's like, if you're an awesome, legendary Japanese creator, you come in with a ton of good faith immediately on your first push. If you're a company like Yacht Club or whatnot, you're like, okay, you know what these guys have done.
Yeah.
So, again, your first project, you're going to come out of the gate, like, at light speed, making money on that. But for follow-ups, I guess I feel like people want a bit more, you know? Like, they want to be able to be certain that, like, what you've worked on is done. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're jumping ahead and funding something too early or whatnot. I mean, KG...
Didn't Obsidian do Planescape while...
Different company?
Yeah, okay, I'm crazy.
In Exile.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So Double Fine's the only
one. And I felt weird about that.
Oh, no, so In Exile. So yeah, they did that while Wasteland 2 was in development.
They came out and explained that, and it's basically like, we wrote all of Wasteland. Like, all of the writing on Wasteland is completely fucking finished.
We need
to
start on something else.
Mm-hmm.
The writers are fucking... Like, the writers and the designers are fucking doing nothing.
It's the exact same situation,
Yeah.
And Double Fine with Master Chalice.
Right.
Which was a different team,
But people just don't like that, you know? Like, the idea of, like...
I don't know why.
It's like people... I don't know. People seem to love Torment. Like,
I don't know why, but... Torment I felt... I did not feel like this at all.
But the number... Yeah, exactly. The number... demonstrated that people...
I don't know. There's something about the situation that was different, and I can't quite put my finger on it. And I know there is a difference, but I can't remember what it was.
I think this is the reason why this is going as slow compared to Mighty No. 9 is like the feeling that, we are waiting on that.
You know what it is?
You know?
I know exactly what it is. I can't believe Mighty No. 9 isn't out. With Wasteland, like, you look at that kind of game, like, that shit takes forever. Especially the writing, right? But Mighty No. 9, it's like, you just said it, you fucking self. Like, game's done. More or less.
It should be if it's shipping in September,
Fucking, come on.
Animated series. I mean, Studio 4C is great.
They're fantastic,
They're cool guys. It's it's odd to do a double-prong Kickstarter like that.
But it's cool.
Yeah. I would.
I don't. Think I like.
How
needed.
Else is it going to exist?
I don't think it's needed. That's the thing.
I think. It,
well,
I think
it, after the runaway success that was the Sonic Boom Double Team.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
I think,
but one of those is super successful.
Well, here's how I think it
Guess
would exist.
Guess which one?
Game.
I think the way it would exist would be like game comes Shucks. Out, is successful, gangbusters, everyone loves it, get an animated adaptation.
Yeah, but it's like how many versions of the game do they need to ship to make it that successful? Like
as many as they
Shovel
need
Knight's
to.
A massive success. They couldn't get a fucking Shovel Knight anime going
maybe
on
they
that.
Shouldn't.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah, maybe they should.
They would have to go through years and years of that. You know, I think it's fun what he wants to try doing, getting that thing going, especially since the anime is completely unrelated to the game.
I don't think that anime is going to meet that its funding.
I think it will. It's ahead proportionately.
What is it asking?
Really?
150.
Yeah. It's asking for significantly less, which is why, obviously. But yeah. I think they're both going to get funded. Neither of them are going to kill it, you know, mm-hmm. but they're both going to get funded. And I'm glad. I don't want neither of them to exist. Like,
would you have preferred it to be a 950K Kickstarter instead?
No, I think it's fine the way it is.
Splitting it into two?
You know, it's a unique approach.
Oh, if it was yeah, if it was for both,
cause if
I would never back it.
Because if cause nobody
want
wanted
the anime,
exactly. If I didn't want the anime, I'd rather it not exist. But I do want it. So, and for the people
yeah.
who don't want it, they
people
don't
like Matt
Nye
who would just not back it. Because I don't want my money to go to the
well,
same.
Like, when I backed it and I saw you had backed the game, I saw you didn't back the anime. And I was like, that's good. Well, he's able to choose to not pay
yeah,
for the
yeah,
anime.
No, you're right, you're right, you're right.
I think that,
I think that choice is good, especially since they're different plots. They're not
so
actually related.
Well,
so.
Clearly they're prepared for a world where the game doesn't get backed, but the anime does.
Yeah, they're prepared for both, it seems.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. Or
granted,
vice versa.
Granted, the anime getting back would be the nightmare situation, because, like, until they hit a bunch of
weird.
Stretch goals, it's really short. You know, like, if they only hit 150, it's like 10 minutes
that's
long.
It.
That's oh, is that what
it's for? 150K, like,
well,
how many animators can you hire? You know,
yeah, half hour dungeon is 80 tombstones.
But like, they're gonna, honestly, they're gonna hit both. Like, there's no way they're not.
Need about 800 tombstones.
But the product we get with
for tomorrow,
the bare minimum on both of those projects is not
couple episodes of the game. Yeah.
Well, a couple of episodes of the game, 10 minutes short. Not really a full-on, like, Legends experience, as it were.
No, exactly. For sure.
Around what stretch goal was it to get, like...
It was $2.5 million as a feature film.
Okay.
And it was all building up to that and expanding it up until that one, which was the biggest one.
Unless
at which point, like, for the first one where it's, like, 150K for, like, 10 minutes of footage, you're like, that seems expensive. And then you get to the end and it's $2.5 million for a feature film, and you're like, that seems cheap. So it kind of. You
well,
know,
do you have anything about an F-Zero like Kickstarter?
Absolutely,
okay,
but
sure.
Yeah, but I just
you don't want to kicky
yeah.
right on back
to
back.
To say one more thing about Indivisible.
That's right.
Indivisible is cool.
I'm
glad it's not a fighting game. I'm glad you branch out.
Everyone's glad it's not a fighting game.
No, because you just want something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, like Skullgirls, as much as like it's a darling of a ton of people on the internet. It's too hardcore for everybody.
Yeah.
Skullgirls is above everyone's heads. And it's like, I love that.
I finally got my head out of my ass and fucking got into it. And then was like, I can't get into this anymore. It's too much.
It's not remotely viable.
I can't even learn
that,
the matchups on one character. Because they're too complex.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Just go look up the Undizzy system, aka drama.
You know what? Yeah, I never even bothered because I don't know why my combo told me it can't combo no more.
So at this stage, what is Indivisible? Sorry,
Indivisible is an RPG, and it's by the same team at Lab Zero that did Skullgirls art. So looks like it's
going
to look cool.
Looks good.
I'm on board.
This game, I think it's going to be developed by WayForward, by the way.
Whoa, why do you think that?
Because I don't think anyone really picked up on it, but the cover for the upcoming Destructoid magazine says WayForward and Zero Labs team up on a new game. So,
okay.
I think
for
Zero Labs is an obvious typo.
For an RPG, I don't think Lab Zero has even enough people to really bang that out easily.
Well, it's a 2D... action RPG.
It's
not as complex as it sounds to add the RPG mechanics.
Maybe,
at the end of the day, you're just changing the damage numbers and adding values to different static.
WayForward and Lab Zero is a cool.
I'm glad that we can still feel good about WayForward and Yacht Club. I'm glad that that's
yeah. a thing. Yeah, there was an amicable breakup, and both remained high-quality studios.
And they both support each other's
That
stuff.
Could have easily been, like, all the good people left.
It could have been
or all the shit people stayed.
Which is what always happens.
Or whatever, yeah.
That's what
I fucked that
happens.
Up, and both of those are the same thing.
Nah, it's fine.
You know what I was trying to say.
Yeah, so, it could have been rare, but it's not.
So I'm curious, because...
That's not rare at all.
This is a scruples question for you. Mighty No. 9's not out yet, but Keiji Inafune is kickstarting a new thing. Shantae will not be out yet, and yet it seems like they will be kickstarting a new game.
Way Forward?
Along with Indivisible. How do you feel about that?
Well, but the Way Forward consistently puts out games of a decent quality.
So does Concept.
Well, I didn't back Shantae, because Shantae's cool. I haven't played
sure,
it yet.
Sure, but I'm just saying, this was the situation you presented, like, 10 minutes ago.
Right.
So.
Is it the exact same team and the exact same details?
Do we know? You know, Way Forward, Lab Zero seems to be what it is. That's all we know. Exactly.
Is Shantae... When's that due out?
Later this year.
Haven't they made 40 Shantae games?
Oh, 5.
They've re-released
I think this is the 5th
games.
Or something, but lottery releases.
That genie's pretty cursed.
Yeah. I think it's 5.
Yeah, I think, like, a company like Way Forward has, like, put out multiple games and had multiple teams work on things in the past over time, and that's been, like, a thing.
For Way Forward, they specifically said, we have enough budget to put out handheld versions of Shantae, but we don't have enough budget to put out Xbox One, PS4, Wii U, PC, and 3DS and Vita versions, so that's why we went to Kickstarter for this, because it's our own character, and no one's publishing it but us.
And I guess, like, unlike looking at it like a company, well, it is Concept, but it's KG specifically. Like, the people are looking at
Concept.
That. It is
like,
Concept.
Like, KG's a figurehead, you know?
Of course. And no, it does, that's the thing, is, like, that's why I'm very, like, I don't know, because they very well could totally be fine with that. And, like, and it's not the same team. It's not, whatchamacallit, Inti Creates.
Yeah,
so I understand how that can happen. I just feel like, you know, the reason why it's not sparking up the numbers it does is because, Mighty No. 9 is just...
No, for sure. Just you seem kind of blasé on Red Ash, and then you were super hype on Indivisible, which is, I think, they're both awesome.
I was like, it's actually
a similar situation, that's all.
If I was in a situation where I was waiting with bated breath for Shantae, I might feel a bit more similar about the situation, but because I'm not... I can just go like, well, I like the second thing.
No, I hear you. I just wanted to ask, given the presence of this unusual situation.
Okay, let me ask you, Shantae, Way Forward's Kickstarter?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Indivisible is Lab Zero's Kickstarter?
Well, again, this is according to a Destructoid magazine.
No, but I'm saying, like, on the Kickstarter page it says Lab Zero.
There is no Kickstarter page.
There's no Kickstarter page? The Indiegogo page isn't up yet.
Okay, well, then there's nothing to even, like...
I didn't even know it was a crowdfunding thing until I just saw the trailer and...
You know what? I'm kind of just starting to assume these games are crowdfunding things.
Well, that's why I said, like, Y2K, it was a pleasant surprise to find out that it wasn't.
Yeah.
Because you see a trailer and you go, alright, where's the KS logo? And it's like, oh... It's just coming.
And I was literally walking around Cranky Construct where he checked on his phone and said, oh, there's a Mega Man Legends, like, spiritual successor Kickstarter, Keiji Inafune. Oh, there's also a Lab Zero thing, Indivisible. It's an RPG. And then I was like,
that shit.
And then I actually sat down and just looked at, I didn't really look at Indivisible too much, but, like, I looked at the character art for Red Ash, and I was just kind of like, I don't know about this. And Indivisible, I really haven't seen enough of it to even have.
Yeah, it's just the really cool teaser right now.
Okay.
I guess, I don't know how to word this, but, like, maybe part of the fact that Mighty No. 9 is a Mega Man game feels like it's very basic, and is the kind of, it feels like it would be a lot simpler to get that out there already.
I mean, Shantae is a 2D platformer as well, so, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, again, just an observation, because it's not often a situation we get where...
You've like parallels
this exact
like that.
Thing
I don't know, man. Yeah. Until we learn more, I think we said everything we could possibly say.
Yeah,
about
that's
this.
It. And like I said, you just broke it to me that Indivisible isn't
totally,
even crowdfunded
totally.
At all. So.
I still got a shit ton of Kickstarter games in the pipe.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Was Freedom Planet a Kickstarter game?
Yes, it was.
Years ago.
We totally missed it. Yeah.
I forgot to mention it. I played the first level of Freedom Planet. So, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
You gotta play until you get to 5C.
Five saves.
Until the game does not start until you get to five.
Mighty Number Nine,
it's,
like that.
That game is.
No, I mean Wonderful 101.
Fucking, yeah. Like, except for the voice acting and the color depth and the sound quality. That's one of those Genesis-y fucking things I've played in decades.
Yeah.
Nails it.
Totally.
Good games.
What else we got?
So, yeah. You guys might want to do something.
It was hard to get details on this because, like, it was being deleted as I was searching. But, a fan-made F-Zero successor.
Yes.
There was a Kickstarter for this project called Zero Gravity AX. And it looked like
F-Zero
Next Gen.
I saw one screenshot. I've not even looked at it otherwise.
There's a video of it.
It looked like there was a Blue Falcon.
Because it was the Blue Falcon.
So this went up, and the response, it was one guy from Germany, it seems, and the response was basically, "Hey man, I don't know if you know, but you probably can't do that."
Yeah.
Also, like, even for people that are like, they're like, man, you want to back it off, like, a little.
Because the video of it is literally just F-Zero.
Dang.
It's the same boost pad. You get a boost after one lap.
Was it playing Shotgun Kiss? Like, that sounds like all it's missing.
I couldn't even find the video. I could only find a GIF.
The video, I watched the video
By the
of
time
it,
I heard about and, it and tried to look for it, I couldn't even find
and
a screenshot.
Literally now, at this time frame, like, of this month, of this year, there are actually a lot of futuristic racers via Kickstarter other stuff. And now it's like, I don't even want this, because all it was F-Zero. I saw the Misfits there, though.
The people that are making our living talking about video games, you can't have flashy images nearby us to not look at them.
I just wanted to show Liam some footage, but fuck it.
Yeah.
So,
no,
the point
I ruined
is
it
that
for everyone.
It looks like fucking F-Zero, apparently.
Yeah,
right?
And so,
you're piloting the Blue Falcon.
So the guy who's behind this basically is like, due to immense amounts of negative feedback and possible legal
issues,
people warned him about legal
things. I think the phrase we're looking for is shenanigans.
Yeah, maybe so.
Sure. He's canceling it, and you go to the Kickstarter page, and 40 people barely got to back it before he yanked it down.
I think the current thing is that I might retool my design.
I look forward to G0FX.
Fast Racing AX
with the Red Bird.
Yeah,
like there's a group. I think we talked about it in a previous podcast where there was a group that was literally a bunch of people that Sony laid off from
Liverpool
that said we're going to make this a new Wipeout
take on,
and you know there's Fast Racing Neo and there's like two more that I remember, even like stuff like Distance. We're there.
Well, I was gonna say beyond the stuff, because I know I remember. Yeah, you checked out Fast Racing Neo, but everything that pops up on Super Best Friends drifts.
It's like your fans and imitators beat you to the punch.
Yeah.
I think we're 50% fine. Well, I'm like, you know, Wipeout HD and Fury and Wipeout 2048 actually got like big marketing stuff, and I was like, yeah, I really like seeing future racing with marketing. That's cool. I want everyone to know about future racing.
The next Penelope is another one, but the camera is different.
Yeah,
I was talking to Liam.
When are we gonna get a big future racing game again?
Where you're not driving a car.
Yeah, but I want commercials for it.
Right.
Like, by a major studio, I don't know when. I was telling him that a game just came out on Xbox One, as a downloadable, a game called Quantum Champions, which is a futuristic racing game that's super legit, and it used to be a mobile game and on Steam, and now it's on a console. Like, we're all right now. We don't need someone to literally rip off F-Zero.
But, you know, I think with that coming out on the heels of the news about the F-Zero game that could have been not coming out,
people are
hungry for specifically F-Zero, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, we're getting some stuff.
And Nintendo, can we have this? No.
Hey, well, Nintendo, they tried. Can you forcibly buy
it? And then someone told them no.
This is the
need to make a new Need for Speed.
This is the third Kickstarter recently I can think of where the creator just like got a lot of bad feedback on day one and just pulled it down and went, all
right, it's the right thing to do. If
why
Kickstarter
prolong,
flips around,
why prolong your humiliation
why just
for
bleed
30
out?
Days?
Yeah. Why just bleed out on the floor for
my
30
pants
days?
Fell down. Let me stand here for 30 days and my yeah. pants
while you look
my
at my balls.
How about your balls being exposed for 5 years?
You can see the number of my balls going up. What?
Five years.
5 years.
I'm not sure he's gonna.
I'm, anybody? Anybody
no,
got
no,
this this in?
Racism? Anybody?
What about racism?
Racism was longer than 5 years,
bro. Oh, no, no.
well, Obama's
it's over now,
Obama's
but it was longer
like
than 5 years.
7 years since, so racism ended 2 years ago. I guess
Willie's
so.
Talking about a story that I think he and I care about the most. I think you guys are curious.
Yeah, I think we're the only ones that actually give a shit.
Maybe,
yeah.
I don't know what
Project
you're
Emma.
Oh, no, dude, I give such a shit about this.
Oh, is
so, don't you remember the other day I was talking with you guys, and I was like, man, I think that's me and Matt's number one I want this prototype
in my hands.
Yeah,
but this was after, during the weekend, so you're gone, and me and Willie caught up about this actual, like,
I'm
news
really
story
confused
about,
yeah, no, about how the two topics we
great.
Have in our hands link together.
You'll see, you'll see.
So the guys at Unseen 64, God bless them, they do God's work. It's amazing.
Yeah.
God
knows how to run a Beta N64.
They pulled up a lot of hidden info on exactly how and why Project Hammer met its fate.
Yeah.
You know, and
here we go.
So you can watch the video. I've put a link to it in the docket. The gist of it is that while the American company working with the Japanese company,
well, first and foremost, Project Hammer was one of the first games they demoed with the Wii. By
yeah.
the way, if anyone wants to look it up,
yes, like E3, at an E3,
you can go
like
check out the footage. Exactly,
in the demo reel, it's like game number.
And Reggie introduces
shit, yeah.
it, and it's an action game where you use the Wiimote to swing a hammer.
Yeah, you're a big dumb cyborg.
It promised 1-to-1 hammer swinging accuracy, but that was not true.
As all launch Wii games did.
And,
looking at you.
Yeah, and, you know, it was one of those games that just kind of, after that initial announcement, just fell into the darkness.
Never mentioned again, pretty much.
And so what we found out was, behind the scenes, the problem was that America, working with Japan, couldn't agree
on what made the game fun or not.
Or on how to fix the problem that the game is not fun.
Mm-hmm.
Running around doing nothing but waggling
wasn't enjoyable.
Was not enjoyable.
And I think the American team was like, we need to work on the gameplay. Japan said, you need to work on the environments and make the levels better and more destructible.
Yeah, so it was the difference between Metal Gear Rising and, I guess, Revengeance.
Yeah.
It's a good analogy,
you know?
Actually. It's
because, yeah, the Japan just said, no, like, the game design, leave it alone. Just work on the stages.
Work
everywhere.
On making everything around the game.
And, you know, and
yeah,
the American. So back and forth, it got heated, and it got to the point where the Japanese teams were, like, having meetings without the Americans and basically saying, you would not understand this, you're not Japanese.
Mean stuff, yeah.
Right? And
this was NST who had just shipped Metroid Prime Hunters.
That used to
fantastic.
Be the
exactly.
prevailing theme in, like, Japanese game development.
Yeah, yeah.
So, they just...
Did you go far back enough?
So they just wouldn't have any of it. And it got to the point where, over the course of this, like really painful development, people just started walking away because they're like, this is pointless. Like, no one is respecting me on the team, the ideas, and so on. It just felt like a giant shit show. In the meantime,
I'm not ready to be Ryan Payton just yet.
In the meantime, they reworked the game. Well, the final name was going to be, like, Machine X?
Machine X, and that's the name they were going to go with instead of Project Hammer. Then the video later, they changed...
Well, I was
going to
go
okay,
there.
Okay, sorry,
yeah,
I wasn't
yeah.
sure.
So they rendered out a bunch of cutscenes of this, like...
Expensive cutscenes.
Disaster Day of Crisis level shit going
that's
on.
That's what I call zero tolerance.
Exactly. And as that went on, it seems like over the years, they hit a point where they're like, fuck this. Scrap everything but the basic concept of gameplay. Take it back to the drawing board. Make it into a cutesy sort of Miiverse based aesthetic.
Not Miiverse. I think you're looking for Rebrand.
Rebrand.
Yeah, which
like
is just a portmanteau.
Wii Sports esque.
Wii Sports, Wii Play, all that
so
shit.
So
yeah.
they were trying to push this as Wii Crush.
Yeah. Which is a great name when you think about
it. It is, yeah.
But even that,
like
they said,
that,
they
but...
said, facelift or not, this isn't fun.
Yeah.
And
that's all comes down to
And
that.
Yeah, just. From there, it just slowly descended into nothing. Until there was a skeleton team working on it, and...
They had a team of skeletons working canceled. On it?
Yes. Correct. Finally you can canceled. Imagine how fast the work went.
This really stinks.
Oh, and he fleshed just slowed down.
The story really stinks, because not so much Project Hammer, but I... up to that point, I thought NST was just, like, a great little team that, you know, Wave Race, 1080 Snowboarding, in conjunction with Nintendo Japan, then... Blue Storm, then 1080 Avalanche, all games that I really liked a lot.
Metroid Prime Hunters, I love that game.
We're making a Metal Gear, like, aesthetically story-driven boss game where you play as a cyborg with a fucking hammer. I was always like, I want to play that super bad.
Yeah.
So the guy that was behind the games you all listed was the guy that took the fall. For this.
Basically, oh, he fell on the sword for it?
Japan exclusively blamed him for it. Nice. It was a really fucked up thing.
Very Japanese to do.
Anyway, all that to say, I was like, that's cool, fine and dandy.
Where's the build at?
But what does Hammer stand for? Yeah. What does that acronym mean?
We never found out.
Exactly. And
we will never find out.
I tweeted that at Unseen64, the guy replied to me and said, you know what? I'm gonna see.
Good.
I'm going to look into
Thank
it.
Thank you, Wooly, for making this happen.
Hot American machine mashing energy recoil.
Yes. Damn, that's good. It's easy.
You know what I bet it stands for? They didn't think of it yet.
Yeah,
they
probably.
Didn't think of it yet.
They were like, we'll fucking hats. Bullshit an acronym.
But next
later.
Week we'll have a story where it's the coolest thing ever.
Like, oh,
energy
man.
Revenge.
Project Hammer was totally worth all that implicit racism.
I hope we get what it stood for, the full acronym.
Yes.
And I hope we can launch a game jam with that acronym as the goal.
Sounds great.
Meanwhile, over at NOA, Bill Trinan is apparently entering Smash Brothers 4 Pools
and
at Evo.
He's going to throw that match,
allowed,
too.
Apparently.
That's crazy.
That's unusual.
Why
because every other fighting game has always had a hard rule, specifically Japanese fighters, about not letting employees
Luckily, Bill Trinan is not Japanese, and Smash is not a fighting game.
Right. It's not a video game at all, if you really think about it.
It's mainly just a bunch of toys jerking off onto each other.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, tune in live to see Bill Trinan get body. And it's going to be great.
I know there's that hard rule.
I would love to see the fucking employees of Capcom be allowed to fucking play in the Street Fighter.
Especially after they said they have players who are like fucking
the fucking Street Fighter V QA team.
Yeah.
Not the first Evo, remember, not the second, not the third, the fourth Evo. Like, the game's had years to stretch its legs. Like, okay, guys, you have your champ. Fight the head of the QA department!
I said this not too long ago, but, like, the gods that Seth Killian built up internally, now that Combo Fiend is there, like, he's kind of confirming that, they're pretty fucking good, but it's not this, like, guaranteed to be champion.
Good, then let him fucking play!
Yeah, it's interesting.
But have it be a side tournament! The winner of both... pools fight each other for the attorney versus employee prize.
Fight team God arranged.
I don't know if it's just on like a sportsmanship thing or like they might leave in bugs that they can exploit things.
Yeah,
good. But you'll make it all the sicker when Ricky beats him.
But maybe as a company, Capcom wouldn't like it to look like you've officially beaten Capcom X Street Fighter.
But I mean, like,
maybe that's the problem.
Well, I think it's pretty standard in contests where people or employees or family members of employees are never allowed to compete.
Especially not when it's like a prize contest or whatever.
Do Riot employees
like
play League?
No, here's what you do.
Sorry?
Do Riot employees play League?
But they don't play in the tournaments.
Here's what you do.
Valve players don't get into the international.
I have a solution. You know? I have a total solution. Charity tournament.
Yeah,
done. Maybe
for kids with fucking whatever that's gonna kill.
Sure.
Well, it's not about the money in that case. What I was saying about the whole we don't want to make it look like our guys are.
Yeah, but it's like, our guys lost so that the kids could have extra legs or whatever.
Nah, I don't think they like it.
Okay, well, fuck those kids then. Good job.
It is not exactly Jerry.
I think if the demand were there,
every charity.
Hey, we should have a charity. No way, we shouldn't. Yeah, okay, good job. Fuck those kids then, right?
That's what you
That's for kids.
That's the world that you want.
It could be fucking elephants for all you know.
You and Capcom.
Fuck those elephants.
I think if you can make the demand happen, they'll do it.
But I think in reality, there's probably only single hundreds or bare thousands that even know about this.
In a Street Fighter tournament, you win, and all the elephants raise their trunks like in Dalsim stage.
What's with elephants today?
No, because you said elephants.
I mentioned elephants earlier.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
That punched a hole through an elephant.
Yeah,
I want to see hidden killers that have been hidden for 10 years.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
The Court of Owls.
I want to know. You know what I want to see? I want to see we just fired these guys tournament. Right. They're allowed to play because we fired them.
That's why Bill Trinan's in.
They are now.
Fucking full circle, Liam killed it.
They are now unchained.
Here's what I can say. When Mortal Kombat 9 was launching, there was a launch tournament at the cinema, the downtown Montreal cinema.
This was fucking dirt.
So one of the QA guys that tested it on the localization team at, where I worked back in the day.
Yeah.
9,
yeah.
WB wasn't around back then.
Yeah, WWE doesn't exist.
One of the guys that he played it every day and whatnot entered the tournament, and he got second place. And he lost to JFL, who's like...
He's the best.
The best muncher, the best Canadian MK player, who's fucking sick. And like he just came in and used the demo, and that's all he needed, and won. So it seems like you absolutely have an unfair advantage up until the top 8.
Yeah. You're still not going to beat Fudo.
Yeah. But you're gonna get into the money.
Any jobber who's played the game before anyone else can do it. You're just raw
and so that's
shit.
The problem.
Yeah, because you get it's like Combo Fiend isn't like as good as he used to be because he's working a real job and all that shit. But when he was demoing Street Fighter V against like Gutex and Mike Ross, and he knew all this bullshit that they just didn't know.
Yeah.
He's got like 20 tricks in his bag for Birdie alone, and he gets to use each of them one. And if he only plays 5 matches. He's got...
Imagine you go to the first Street Fighter 4 tournament, and everyone's there, and there's one Capcom employee, and he knows how to do a vortex.
Exactly.
It's over.
It's completely
and he's not that great,
otherwise, he knows what a vortex is.
Exactly.
That's what happens, is you fuck up
the
middle ground of that tournament.
Good! Fuck it up!
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
What fighting games get all fucked up?
You told me not to engage. I don't know why.
That was like last week.
Not engage the elephant.
Alright.
I have to actually tell you every week not to engage with me.
We got some sick fucking movie news. Donnie Yen is going to be in Star Wars.
Woo!
Now, to be perfectly clear, right now this is rumor, not confirmed.
Yep.
But who cares?
It's not Episode 8. It's going to be in the Rogue.
Star Wars.
Whatever. Donnie Yen's going to be a fucking Jedi.
Wait, he's not in 7.
Not in 8. Not in 7.
Oh,
it's going to be the spinoff movie.
Is he going to have a scene where he punches a guy and then plays King of Fighters 2002?
I'm ready.
That's the best. Chapeau Lang. Playing on the fucking clog stage.
So that's super great.
The only reason why this strikes me as odd is that Donnie Yen has given interviews where he's like, I will never work in Hollywood again.
Well, good thing it's in space.
Well, he's gotten the shaft so many times.
No, because he never even bothered.
Hey, money speaks.
The only American movie that I'm aware of has ever been
in
Blade 2. And that's because Guillermo del Toro loves
Donnie Yen. You buy all sorts of shit with me.
And he's doing amazingly overseas. So it's
But I remember hearing I'm never going to be in a Hollywood movie ever again.
There's that. There's, have you seen Barkira's animated trailer?
I have, actually.
It's pretty cool.
I kind of got bored of it.
Yeah, it's about halfway through.
I was like,
to see more, I know it's a shot-for-shot recreation of the trailer. I kind of wanted, shot-for-shot recreation of cool scenes that I wanted to see.
Well, how long did you spend going through that blog, is the question.
Zero.
Oh, you didn't see the original Barkira blog?
Yeah, no, I just watched
the video.
Okay,
maybe
because
that would help.
Barkira,
I have time for that shit.
Barkira started as, an art project between tons of artists. And, because the trailer is done in a more just straight-up Simpsons style.
Yeah.
But the art and the colors and the crazy dramatic lighting done in some of the original panels is, in my opinion, it has more fun with it. And it's more interesting. But I think it's cool.
Yeah, that's
sure.
Cool, but I mean, I was just kind of like...
Oh, who gives a fuck about that shit? Let's talk about Mother's Basement. You said it's on the fucking docket.
It is on the docket.
What?
It's the fucking sickest shit in the world.
All right, everybody. I tweeted this out. If you thought you enjoyed the JoJo intros, shut up, you're wrong.
You didn't enjoy them as much as you thought you did.
They're better than you thought they were.
Oh, is this that video you mentioned to me?
Yeah. That's correct.
He came, so he came
part
out.
Part 2 is up!
Part 2 came out today, and I showed Pat before we started this.
Our jaws were dropped. Willie spat all over himself in shock.
They're 10-minute videos, and they basically break... The first one breaks down JoJo Intro 1 and 2. The second one breaks down 3 and 4. And this guy, Mother's Basement, yeah, he let me know that it went up today. And, like, he breaks down the frame-by-frame... depth of these OPs.
There's so much shit in there.
They actually they make other anime OPs shit with how much detail they have. It's insane and it's amazing.
Did you know that the
don't even spoil it.
No,
shut
I
up.
Just the one.
Shut
little
your
one.
Fucking face.
Don't say anything.
Let them watch it.
Okay, hold on. What if I say it and then I'll
don't say anything?
We're moving on.
Did you know that the thing was in that intro?
Shut yep. up. We're moving on.
Yeah, you're right.
Like for Fantastic
symbolism.
War.
Frame by frame, dude.
So
unbelievable.
Good. I want to be unspoiled. I hear this is good, so...
Watch it!
I want to watch it right now.
You guys listen to... You guys listen to Jim Sterling versus Digital Homicide?
I did not, but I heard about it.
No, I didn't.
What was I heard those guys are nuts!
So, Digital Homicide...
Who's Digital Homicide? Yeah. I actually don't know.
They made a game called The Slaughtering Grounds.
This was actually Cranky's story of the week, because he told me this... Then when he caught up with Wooly, he told Wooly, he was like, Wooly, if you like
people
cringe.
Tweeted it at me, too.
So this is a guess. Is The Slaughtering Grounds an early access game that he...
Yes.
That he slammed, okay, and then they copyrighted, struck him down. It was the first big one.
And then he slammed a couple of their games.
Okay, I do want to watch this
now. Because they were the subject of, I want to say, at least 3 Gym Position episodes.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe.
A couple. That man's British, I always say.
Just pure dreck, you know? And so the guy at Digital Homicide, he made like a Jim Sterling troll zombie thing that you could attack, or like a DLC. I don't know. It was a weird
dumb
thing.
I'm Jim fucking Sterling, son.
Sure.
That's where that comes from.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he made like response videos and counterattacked and whatnot to try and defend the fact that his games were made from, like, off-the-store assets the Unity...
which, admittedly, you're allowed to do, but... You know.
You're allowed, but it's...
Poor taste.
You know, it's kind of frowned upon, because it's not really original.
So,
but as a
I would contend, in this magic world, if you made a 10-on-10 amazing game with completely store-bought assets, nobody would care.
Nope.
But that's... Anyway,
but
that's
that
besides
has,
the
when
that's
that happens,
kind of magic world,
that would be
there.
The exception to the rule.
Exactly.
So, podcast is... them actually hashing it out, having a conversation, going, all right, you want to talk to me in person?
How long is it?
We'll jump on Skype for an hour.
Sick.
And we'll have at it. And they do, and it is fucking painful.
Any name calling?
Yeah.
No, no,
at points.
No, well,
at points.
Okay.
I listened to the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying for Liam's.
Okay.
Gotta
tone it down.
But the general thing is you're listening to a guy that, like... I don't know how to explain it, but you know when you've worked with the type of dev that doesn't understand what he's making is not fun or
too
good?
Close to it.
I'm gonna stop you for a second. This is a much broader concept than game developers.
No, Wooly's being really specific right now.
Oh, really?
I know exactly what he's talking about.
It's obviously
so
great.
You're dealing with that over the course of an hour while Jim is trying to get the point across and trying to listen to what this guy has to say, but every defense, every argument this guy's making for his shitty games is just, like, it was just backwards logic.
He's so blindly confident in what he's making when it's just bafflingly
and
wrong.
And half, like, of his argument half of his argument is the TV trope, you're not so different, you and I. Right? Where the villain is trying to convince the hero that you're just like me, right?
Yeah, you just use shitty green light games to get yourself over, kind of
and,
thing.
Well, no, you use videos with assets from other people to talk about your critiques and whatnot. I use assets that other people made to make my game, and your critiques and my coding go into a mix of other people's things.
All right, I've heard enough.
It's mind-numbing, but it's entertaining because there's more than a couple points where Sterling guffaws and Burke breaks out laughing at things the guy says.
This is not a work. This is,
it's
like,
not a
an
work.
Actual, like, this is happening, these two people are talking, and woof, this is too raw.
Ultimately, it's a shame, because this guy just dug his own hole, and, like, at the end of the day, people are going to remember Jim Sterling, and people are only going to remember this guy as part of Jim Sterling's legacy.
That is the exact point of one of his Jimquisitions.
Yes. Oh, yeah?
Is
okay.
That you have now, in your fight against, like, the video about Slaughtering Grounds, irrevocably tied the name Slaughtering Grounds to Jim Sterling, and now no one will ever, ever, ever think of Slaughtering Grounds without having the word Jim Sterling pop in their mind.
Fucking Ezio drops down and lets you know that no one will ever remember your game.
Oh, that's good.
There you go. And like,
what game is that? The one Jim shit all over?
Yeah. And
do you mean Vanquish?
And in a stroke of genius that couldn't be written, the call ends on this weird, because it's a shitty quality call. It ends
with
the Skype hang up, a little bit of rustle and bustle as the table moves around, and then the guy going, "How did I do?" And then it cuts off.
So
I was like, "That's perfect. That's perfect. I love everything about this."
Time
if you got an hour to cringe, go listen.
I'm gonna pass.
I'm gonna listen. Totally.
I don't know how you do that cringe shit.
You pass, but you gotta go read Junji Ito comics.
But if you've got more than an hour, if you've got 15 to 20 years, hold on, because No More Heroes 3 is coming.
Woo! In another 15 years.
I want to give a shout-out to Destructoid for using a really good piece of art for the story.
Jonathan Holmes wrote the article.
Told you. He's in there, man.
He's in there now.
He knows the deal.
But generally, it seems like this is almost a non-story, because it's like, No More Heroes coming out in 15 years, and then it says Suda51 jokingly states.
Yeah, of course.
This is a fucking Tarantino thing.
Yeah.
But if you're saying a game is coming out in 20 years, you're obviously not stating a fact. Yeah, exactly.
But with Swery, you never know.
Gonna be dead, like, in
with
2 years.
You would never know. You're right. Fortunately, this is Suda51.
I'm talking about Suda.
Sorry, I get where you're coming from.
I get them mixed up, too, for some reason.
I don't think you could ever know in 20 years if you even have the rights to it anymore, so...
I don't know if like, Suda's floating head will be able to still make games in 20 years.
But in 20 years, who even knows, like...
Well, video games will be totally gone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Clearly. You'll be making trademark Apple plan listens.
Like, not too long ago, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, Suda51 said
was
in an interview.
Very good, Liam.
Where he was just like, I really want to make a No More Heroes 3.
On that one.
Lots of people ask me for it all the time.
You don't want to play Apple play and listens?
Mine was actually important, but I
gave you like 45 seconds to come up with that. I just said that Apple Play and Listens. That's the future.
That's where the industry's headed in 20 years.
Fuck. Damn.
Never mind. It wasn't important.
All right.
You know what's not important? Anything?
What were you going to say?
Nothing. Next.
No, come on. I'll make an Apple Play and listen about it.
No. Done. Next story.
You see the intro for Pokken Tournament?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty. Pretty cool.
Shit's cool.
Next story.
Is that the whole story?
What else?
I know.
Jirachi's in it. I like
it's coming
Jirachi.
Out.
I want that to be the whole story.
This was fucking cool.
It's so simple.
I didn't know about this, but we're all pretty excited for Until Dawn.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now they've announced it's going to have 2 to 12 player multiplayer.
What? Ooh. How? I didn't hear this.
They just
Okay, wait a second.
Before you ask me for details, I can't
just remind me. I am thinking of the right game, right?
Hayden Panettiere, story horror.
Wait, what?
I am thinking of the one that Sony showed off at the conference that's like the multiple choice adventure horror thing, right?
Yes. I don't know what Hayden Panettiere is.
That's an actress.
That's the girl that's in... She's the main character.
That's an actress lady.
There's multiple main characters.
The one they showed in the demo on the stage.
Oh, okay.
She was the cheerleader or some shit. But yeah, the cliche B-horror movie game that looks awesome.
That game. The game that looks like Dragon's Lair, kind of, but awesome. That has 2 to 12 person multiplayer.
Yes. That's what I'm looking at right now.
I'd put my money
I thought my memory was wrong. I thought I was thinking of, like, last year.
I'd put my money on people voting.
Well,
Wally,
update. This listing was a mistake. It has no multiplayer.
Are you serious?
So, original story.
Episode 100. Update. Episode 100, everybody. This is everything you've come to expect from this fucking podcast.
I'm still excited for Cyberpunk.
I'm still excited for this multiplayer
mode. Now regret not getting closer to the microphone when I ate my food, so you get some mouth noises.
If you
want
to play Until Dawn multiplayer, you can lend your significant other the other half of the controller.
I pulled this story off of Silicon Era, and this morning, as of 11:45, the story said it had 12 players.
It's almost been 12 hours.
Wasn't Silicon Era the very first place to break the FF7 remake news?
Where this story originally came from was now, just a listing on the PlayStation Asia site. So...
Yeah, well, whatever. Doesn't matter.
The game's awesome.
What am I supposed to do?
Well, you're not to blame. You're not to blame.
I know, but it feels like I
am. No, you're not. Just we have to fact check.
Yeah, Wooly, you made the game not have multiplayer. That's what just happened.
Yeah, what else we got? Pokemon Tournament still looks cool.
Enthusiasm is what we got.
Enthusiasm.
You want to talk about how the guy, the Valve economist, that took over to go save Greece fucking quit? Because six months later, he's like, nah, I can't do this.
Can't save
it. I made a
Hats won't save it.
I made a joke earlier about the drachma that everyone sandbagged out of.
I heard it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. That shit's a mess. Shit's harder than hats, motherfucker.
Do you just, like, bomb Greece at this point? Do you just end it all?
No.
Nobody knows what's going to happen.
He's in a country where he can't pronounce even the most basic last name.
Just give him the philosophy.
No, he still can't do it. I was at... Okay, Cranky's real last name is super... It's 14 letters.
Yeah. Crazy.
And he met another Greek person that's a friend of a friend. No, not even.
Oh.
Put in two more. Right? And he and another Greek friend are talking to each other, and they go, I can't believe your last name.
Yeah.
And she had also had a long last name. It was
only
crazy.
In Greece.
Only in Greece.
Get John Travolta over there. He'll drive a car into the sunset, and everything will be fine.
Everything will be fine.
So you guys want to talk about the Greek economy for 45 minutes?
I don't.
I'm all right.
But the only other thing is...
Europe's weird. That's what I have to say.
There's nothing... What happens when someone leaves the Eurozone? Nobody knows.
They go into the Phantom Zone.
Yep.
There's a Predator trailer. Is Predator canceled? Is he not coming out anymore?
I watched the stream of him earlier today, and
Predator may not be able to pay his debts. And may be forced out of the NK zone.
And it's hard to pronounce his actual name.
Yep.
I watched the stream of him today, and he like looks way, way more interesting than Jason. Has tons of great things, can detonate himself, and the detonation bomb will attack someone even during throwing animations.
The funnest part about him is when he takes damage, he bleeds green.
He bleeds green. Oh, so I'm always at a point where I go, how long will I wait to turn off the chat in this stream? And it went to a record 0.5 seconds. Where it goes, someone goes, what is this bullshit? Why is he bleeding green? Fuck you! Turn off the chat!
You mad,
you
bro?
Don't belong here.
Bro, you mad?
Don't even know the character lore.
Bro, hold on, Matt.
You mad, bro.
Was there a little small black and white face after that sentence?
There were some, because multiple people said this, and then other people said it legit.
Because if there was a little cap.
Was there the phrase, I Lamau?
I know, but there are multiple people, some about it.
Parts of the internet, I fucking love how horrible they are. Because
there's a chance that you might have got got.
Just, no, no, nothing
got,
will stop.
He didn't get got.
That fucking onomatopoeia of fucking Brazilian laughter will never, ever not make me laugh.
But... suffice to say, Predator has a trap where if you touch a mine, you then get flipped up and you're tugged by a wire around your heels, and you're just hanging in the stage, and Predator can do whatever.
What is that bullshit? That's not Mortal Kombat.
It's pretty Mortal Kombat. It's the same thing as, like, you
Shinnok
know, Freeze
actually,
or whatever.
Shinnok actually calls him the Predator.
Just like he did to Jason. He's the only guy, because I assume that was the last voice actor they had.
No, because he's an elder god, and elder gods can see through crossovers.
He's got the Death Note eyes. He can see your true name.
He's Kaoru.
I'm just going to fast forward to the end of the podcast saying, Matt, what are you going to be doing this week? I'm going to be playing as the Predator tomorrow, most likely.
That's probably right.
Check that out. I'm sure he's going to have a sick fucking story ending, so.
Yeah, it's true.
That X-ray was pretty fun.
His X-ray was really good. His fatalities, I haven't seen the full one yet. I saw one on the stream. It was alright.
I was one thing.
Better than Jason.
The one thing I was going to say about Pokken, actually, was that I was wondering if they were going to add in trainers running around in the background at the last second.
Oh, like outside of the arena?
Yeah, because I was waiting for that to happen, and it seems like they never did. And it's like, oh, they're just going to do the, like, calm connection thing. Did you see it? Sorry? They had, like, there's a little virtual screen behind the Pokemon.
I saw it in, like, the first footage.
Where they're talking to them. It's like, oh, okay, that's how they simplified
it,
that problem and whatnot.
But it would have been cool to have, like, a character choke select. That
bitch. God, I really can't wait for them to announce a console version. Well, and now it's a question of, like,
is it NX or is it Wii U?
You know, how do you think I feel about the fucking new Dissidia game?
I was hoping the trainers would be the grooves that you could pick for your
Pokemon. See that shit? Yeah, that'd be cool. New City looks
I'll
so
play
good.
As Giovanni.
Looks so hot.
Exactly.
Get horn drilled to all my Pokemon.
That's sexy.
Yes.
Okay.
If you want to talk to us about your Pokemon move moves that double as sex moves.
Oh, please do.
You can send that letter in, too.
Super best sex moves at
gmail.com.
That's our other podcast.
Super best friendcast at gmail.com.
That's super best friendcast at gmail.com.
You should change it to super best sex moves.
No, because then people actually emailing super best sex moves for
goddamn it, Plague, stop emailing us.
Well, he knows.
Shout out to the Plague's
tenacity.
Yeah, his good trucks. His first video tri-fusion of Blanca Kotal-Kahn.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. I'm waiting for the rest.
This was your $7,000 dream commission.
That's correct. So, we got one coming in from...
Only one this week.
Well, you know what? More like two, because I didn't
have... like two, okay.
It was a really busy week, unfortunately. I can sort through them live and
man,
try to
I'm
make it smooth.
Man, I'm fucking tired. Oh, man.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's like having the lights not be on is really messing with the fact
always,
I haven't slept
in
30 hours.
We never know, because when we start with light out,
we can never
the sun
this.
Sets on us.
Ryan says, winning sucks. Dare Super Centennial Friends.
That's a really good
excluding MK9, what story in any medium do you think has the best instance of, you won, but the cost of victory was so high that you're still fucked?
That you're still fucked?
Yeah. Snowpiercer.
Winning wasn't worth it.
Snowpiercer has, yeah.
Snowpiercer is the ultimate, in my opinion.
Avengers versus X-Men. It did not turn out really well for anybody.
Don't call this a win.
Don't call this a win, fucking Cyclops. Shut the fuck up. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with God of War 3.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The most.
Also, God of War 2 and God of War 1.
Yeah, but mostly God of War 3 is like the absurd ultimate version of this answer.
Yeah.
Like, I have one on my mind, but like...
this is a huge spoiler.
Nep-Nep.
A little bit.
No. There is a Nep-Nep ending.
Nep-Nep 2. Nep-Nep 2
in which
there.
All the
it's
consoles
stupid that
violently
I can be right
murder
by
each other
saying
in a blood
that.
Pact.
Yeah. Like throwing out a random thing. Fuck. Senran Kagura. No.
I guess I'll pick another one. Soul Sacrifice.
That seems like a game that
Soul Sacrifice, not
that.
Delta.
The vanilla story, the whole thing is like you can save or sacrifice people, but if you sacrifice them, you like gain their power and memories, and
but
stuff.
You also absorb everything. That's
but if you
horrible
save
them,
you just bring them back to life. So when you fight the big bad, you either bring him back to life
and fight him again,
or you absorb his power and memories into yourself,
and he totally overpowers your body eventually, and you become him,
and
the
endless,
next guy has to fight,
cycle.
And you're fucked. Like there's no good ending.
No good ending.
Shadow of the Colossus.
No, that's a good ending. You win.
If you say so.
Whatever you say, buddy.
Hey, he did he got what he wanted.
No, I don't know.
A little bit of bitter, a little bit of sweet.
It's one of those genie situations.
So you climb up there and you find out those fucking apples are poison as shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn, I'm super mad they took this glitch out of the fucking European version.
You're going to carry that limp.
Four times.
I don't even think the ending of MK9 is that bad. You got rid of Liu Kang. But then he just came back again.
Yeah, it came back as a cool character.
Hakan's ending in Street Fighter 4.
I don't even know what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
What the fuck is it?
He beats E Honda, and then they shake on it, but does he really have the best oil in the world?
He needs to come back for 5 so that we can get an answer to that question.
I fucking wish he could come back.
He'll keep fighting to find that answer.
Yeah.
James wants to know, what is the sharpest increase in quality between iterations of a game?
DMC2 to DMC3.
I don't think that's fair. Because they knew they had to. I
it's
surprising.
It's such an obvious answer.
Yeah. I had to get it out fast.
Do we want to disqualify that one?
Oh,
yeah, I do.
Okay. Assassin's Creed 1 to Assassin's Creed 2.
That's a good one.
That's a good pick.
Really?
pick. I'm going to say Zoe.
They're not
Zoe
the sharpest.
Because it went from a good but rough game to, like, game of the year.
I didn't feel like it was flipping the tables on its head, though.
I'm very confident in Zoe to Zoe 2.
Zoe to Zoe 2
because
is a
mediocre
strong
game with a cool idea to Zoe's, one of the best games of all time without any question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Uncharted 2.
Oh, yeah, Uncharted's an okay game, but Uncharted 2's fucking nuts. Mass Effect.
Metal
1
Gear
to 2.
Metal Gear Solid. Like, Metal Gear 2 to Metal Gear Solid.
I think they're kind of too different.
I guess if you have to cut the time gap.
They're all in the same.
By the way,
Ninja Gaiden 3 to Ninja Gaiden.
If you want the real answer, like the all time best greatest answer that can't be beaten, and it's Street Fighter 1 to Street Fighter 2 World Warrior.
Yeah,
there's no competition.
Thread. We're done.
There's no competition. It's over. Street Fighter, go fucking find Street Fighter 1. That game's a piece of shit. It is mind-blowing that game came out after Yi R. Kung Fu.
Yeah.
And was that bad.
Pat,
and they
Pat,
got the
Pat.
It's Street Fighter 2.
I know, but it makes me
You're
upset.
Talking about
it makes,
Street
it makes,
Fighter 2.
It makes me so mad
like
that Street Fighter 1 is so awful.
Let's talk about Air next. Yeah. We're fine.
Street Fighter 2
is I think RE 3 to 4 is an interesting one, too.
Because
it goes from like
sequentially.
Because it's a pretty good game, but then 4 is the best. It's actually Code Veronica, which
because
is
Code Veronica is supposed to be 3.
No, wouldn't it be 0?
3 is supposed to be the size.
No, it'd be 0.
It'd be 0. That's
0
true.
And 4.
0 to 4? Yeah. That's a good one.
Yes.
It's like 2002 to 2004.
No, 4 it's remake to 4.
4 is in
the No, because 4's design was based off of
remakes.
Poor soul. Poor sales.
Eh.
But that's Mikami like made RE4 the way it is because of like the lessons on remake, not on 0.
I can say if we're going for like more than one, like more than two games, like a continuing combo, the Beautiful Joe franchise, going from Beautiful Joe 1 to 2 to Red Hot Rumble to what the fuck was that even called?
You're going in reverse though, right?
Yeah. What are you doing? Where are you
from
going?
From good to bad.
You switched the DS one and Red Hot Rumble, yeah. Because the DS was pretty good.
What was the fucking...
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good.
But the Beautiful Joe franchise...
still made by Cover. Like, it's still good.
But I don't feel like any game that came out in Beautiful Joe's... Like,
after the first one.
...was better than the one
Does
that
Scott
came
Hanna
out. The
sequel?
Second one was really good, but it just kind of felt like more of the same, yeah.
Mario Sunshine and Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Again, not the starkest...
Yeah.
Twilight Princess to Link's Crossbow Training.
I was going to throw some bullshit at you
like
if you said Skyward
Sword. Okay, we got one from Bud Boy Jr.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, Super Budman Lords, long-time listener, first-time writer, congratulations on your 100th.
Thank you. Timely email this week.
Now that you guys are 100, could you, if you, blah.
You can do it.
Come on.
It's worded weirdly.
Just read it exactly.
Your own interpretation.
Now that you guys are at 100, if you could live to 100, would you prestige your life and retain all knowledge of your past life, or would you stay 100 years old and stay a crazy ultimate old man?
So you either stay at 100 for a while, or you prestige and go back to...
You're right about this question.
One.
I'm going to assume he means, like, get another 100 years.
New Game Plus, or continue your side missions.
New Game Plus for sure.
New Game Plus.
Why wouldn't you?
What
benefit is there to not New Game Plus?
I think if you get to retain even basic knowledge, like, Microsoft's going to be big. Fucking,
but it's,
you rule Earth.
But not just that, but it's like, okay, so you've got to wait 20 years before you can be a human again, when you New Game Plus, but if you're an old man going from 100 to 120, like,
I don't
want to
be Immortan Joe.
It's such
as
a...
As cool
like,
as that is.
As
like, there's no argument for the opposite
side. I think
there.
There's a line in the Edward Norton Incredible Hulk where Emil Blonsky goes, if I put what I knew today in the body I had 20 years ago, I wouldn't want to fight that guy.
Yeah, a lot of men say that.
So,
like, unless you were in startlingly good health for a 100-year-old, like...
Yeah, if you're Captain America, fine.
Yeah.
Or
Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Jack, what's his name? Whatever.
Jack, Jack.
No.
Just picking out random names out of my mouth.
Anyway. He's a real person.
Jackalope, the fictional,
the guy that was, like...
style rabbit?
80 that was bodybuilding and super...
Oh, yeah,
thank
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Jack Hollins, yeah. Okay, we've got one from Nick who says, what's the most stereotypical thing you've seen from a person of that stereotype? For me,
it's asking us to get ourselves.
For me, it's how Harris talk in the Redwall series of By the Book, Brian Jock. What? Okay, I'm not sure, but I've got one.
That's accurate.
I've got one.
I have on numerous occasions seen Oli eating chicken.
Yep. So me
and
so,
drinking purple.
So
yes, I remember that specifically because there were no words exchanged. Because I looked at him and he looked at me like, "You really?" Yeah, I'm like, "No, I got what I wanted."
I was with Shmup God Pat and
yeah.
And there was one afternoon we were all pretty tired and hungry and we're like, "All right, let's just head on down to the KFC. Why not? We hate ourselves enough.
Fuck it. I'm willing to just walk out of the KFC. You know what?
Like the mood felt. The mood felt right.
Yeah.
Because I hope someone's
it was that kind
this.
Of day.
Yes.
And so we're standing in line there, just like laughing at ourselves, being like, "Oh God, here we are doing whatever.
Here we're doing the thing."
And so
it's ironic.
So old. Wise looking, like almost like a magic pixie black man kind of thing.
The magical Negro
looks like looking dude walks up who we've since dubbed Porterhouse Carter. Who he goes?
That's
up,
solid,
right?
That's good.
And he goes up and he's like, "Okay, so tell me about that. What is this combo of this family feast?" And they're like, "Well, you got the sides and the business." He's like, "Can I get?" Can I get the feast? And they're like, "Yeah, you get the coleslaw, your choice of whatever." And he's like, no, I don't want to hear about none of that. I just want the chicken. And we just went, oh.
You have to run
and
away.
And did you stay in line?
We melted into the crowd.
You have to run away.
And then you both go, "What's our uncle doing here?"
You know,
yeah.
Wooly, when we
I'll were have what he's having.
When you, I, and Liam were all in Japan, almost everyone there acted like a bunch of stereotypical Japanese people.
Yep, ironic.
Sure,
it's true. Japan's stereotypes hold up aggressively well.
Very quiet, very polite. Very
just
nice.
This past weekend with Cranky, he was getting something or at like a like a 7-Eleven, the Depanneur or whatever, and some guy, a French guy, we live in Quebec, he's on his phone and I don't know the context, but he literally went. And I was like, all he needs is to be eating fucking frogs.
I have made that noise. I've seen my dad make that noise.
I didn't hear what he said
I've
before.
Seen my brother make that noise.
I didn't hear what he said after, but he said,
I remember specifically a moment at the dinner table in which we were watching hockey, and Dad is smoking, and the Mae West. No, the joy was Joe Louis. And the cigarette doesn't leave
Joe
the
Louis.
Mouth.
And he eats the chicken around the cigarette.
Yeah,
that's fucking Quebecois.
Like, Dad, you fucking French. Like, come on.
Pepsi
when
and Mae
watching
West
the
for
hacks,
breakfast.
Pat.
That's great. That's
like,
losing again.
Not too long ago, one of my fiance's cousins said, "Come eat a pizza pasta." He was joking, though. I'm pretty sure.
But still.
So now that's a thing. We were watching, that's we were going through Netflix, and we saw a documentary about Mediterranean sharks. It'd be really funny if these sharks are like, "Hey, come eat a pizza pasta!" And, like, every, like, animal that's, like, from a particular nation just has a racist, like, human accent.
Oh,
eat a pizza
good.
Pasta. Charles Martinet was at Comic-Con.
I really
wanted him to get say something like that Mario would never say, but I didn't have the guts.
Two things, I guess, just like super Quebec stuff, where I was talking to a friend of the family's and his wife, and she's super, like, Quebec-born, and he's kind of more English from Ontario.
Quebecois and
yeah,
Quebecer.
Exactly.
Desish.
And she was talking about how she had to replace the windshield on her shawl. And, he was like, "What even is a windshield in French?" And they just sat there until one of them.
What was she saying? What was she saying? Like, "J'ai besoin de replacer
the windshield
sur mon char
dans mon driveway."
Yes, sir.
You petit.
Okay, so I called.
Hey, kids, prends tes affaires puis let's go.
I called a cab to get to one of you places the other day, and the guy passes by my house because my house has the weird thing at the corner. And I'm trying to explain to him that he passed the thing, and I can't, for the fucking life of me, remember the French word for building. So I just asked, vous avez passé the building?
And he got it.
And he's like, oh, c'est le quel building? I'm like, it's the building? The building, sur le coin, c'est juste la... Vous prenez la droite sur such and such?
Yeah.
It's, la building, c'est juste sur votre gauche. It's like, okay, merci. I'm like,
Quebec
is fucking weird.
I love it. Our language is dying. We need to defend it. Assume more English into our language.
We have our wall, but there's cracks. Fill it with some English words here and there.
It's great. It's like the creep is expanding across the planet, right? That is French. So we need to assimilate more language in, but we're worried about the fucking overlords.
That are
causing our creep to dissipate. Like,
the ultimate is working at a grocery store and helping people bring their shit to their car, and it's like, oh, mon dieu de cachet, j'ai perdu mon char dans le parking.
Dans le parking.
Shaw is an amazing word.
I can't believe people still say Shaw.
Yeah,
that word is like 50 years, like, old people say that shit.
I bumped into, a gaggle of fans at Montreal Comic Con. They're all, like,
they're
all French. Yeah. And they go, never stop. All of you speak French here and there. It's always hilarious. Smells like BC.
No, my girlfriend has the problem where, like, she'll assume a word translated into English is pronounced the same way.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate because it's really long words. I don't have any examples off
like,
the top.
You'll still, I get what you're coming. You'll still hear me do it every now and then when I say shit like sarcasm.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, for I speak English 99% of the time, but sometimes my brain just fucks it up.
Yeah. Certain words.
It's like, oh no. Oh, stop cashing it.
What's he call this?
I remember, 2 years ago at Christmas, at my
Maman Ghislain.
Oh, Ghislain? That's a fucking Quebec name.
Wow.
We were at his place, fucking.
Saint-Jean-Baptiste Richard Ghislain.
Yeah, exactly.
Joseph David.
Ghislain Desjardins. Fuck.
There are 100 million people with that name.
We're at his place for our, super French-Canadian Christmas party. Fucking square dancing to French. To French Canadian fucking Cowboy Fringant and
other assorted
God is fucking is there a the fucking best. CRT with Elvis Graton in the fucking
yes there is still a CRT in that room and it still plays that.
I was talking to Mike about fucking Elvis Graton 9 months ago or some shit
or Garou
and just like
Garou.
No one will ever you cannot explain Elvis Graton
to people. And then my cousin comes and he says I'm gonna put on the good stuff. Michel Bublé goes on.
Well, we have our own Frollywood, is what it is, more or less.
I love fucking Elvis Graton. He's fucking great.
Yeah.
He's fucking good shit.
Quebec culture is
awesome.
It's the best.
So fucking weird.
It's so good.
What's coming up?
I don't know.
What's coming up on the channel? Tormentum. And
no, that game's good. Spoiler! That game's good.
And the ride to sex hell always continues.
Mm-hmm.
The ride to hell sex.
There's ride to hell sex.
To be a sex hell ride.
At some point.
Hey, ride me to hell.
Yep. Close on.
It goes on. Sorry.
We need to send you... I sent Liam and Wooly that fucking animated gif that we asked people to make of the cutscenes just stopping.
The water thing.
And Wooly refused to respond, but Liam's response to the baptism thing was literally, oh gosh.
I don't think there's been any game that we've done that's so gif-able.
Oh, man.
Is it the fucking cop flying off from the left side of the screen onto the fucking road?
That game is probably the worst game we've ever played, and
I am
so happy to play it.
It's so I don't know.
Our call-outs are building up, so we have to address some of them.
What's the call-out list,
as
it is?
There's a couple. So we can't be calling out other people till we address some of the call-outs.
We never address Boca No Eruption's call-out.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's Boca No Eruption.
And that's my
If you want to talk about them, there's Best From Now, and there's some other stuff that might be coming.
There's more call-outs! There's more call-outs that are cooking.
What are you fucking guys doing?
I don't know. What are you talking about? That's all I'm aware of. Because
I know I didn't call out to anyone new.
Well, Matt accidentally, inadvertently called someone out recently.
That's correct.
I was not intended to release that call-out.
But it turned into a call-out
doing it, but people pushed it, remember?
You know, every time.
Every
time you call someone out, you know they're going to call you out, and you're going to be like, fuck, I don't want to do this.
All of you get out. All of you come outside. We'll all get called out.
Let's just have a big call-out fight. and we'll all stand in a circle and call each other out, and then have something to do in the circle.
Mexican call off.
And basically, like, you remember that scene in Anchorman?
You need to have guns on us for it to be Mexican call off.
So we'll team mess with now with murder me. What am I talking about?
I'm getting that we're going to be addressing one of those call outs this week.
One of those, huh? Okay.
On Friday.
I'm not eating anything.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a couple new LPs that are going to be starting.
Yeah.
You know, we're working out the details, but. Shit's happening.
Shit's rocking up.
And then,
it's firming up.
Yeah. The non-stop confest summer continues week after next with...
Week after next with Screw Attack Gaming Convention.
Comboed into...
Right after that is Con Bravo.
That's in Hamilton.
Now, that's on Street Fighter Weekend.
I was debating for a third con by myself.
Yeah. This motherfucker...
You have a problem.
...is pitching the possibility... of maybe squeezing in another the
watch
days
it be,
before
watch it be in
SEC.
Fucking England or some shit.
Do you think I'm not? Can I maybe go out to Boston for Godzilla
Chicago,
Con?
Chicago at G Fest because I wanted to go the last 2 years,
you know?
And something always got
like,
in the way.
And I'm like, you know what, Matt? I have
do what you want. Man.
I have no authority over your life at all.
This is for myself.
But the answer is no.
Yeah. If I heard someone say, "Yo, I'm going down to Chicago for G Fest," I would not think it was for a Godzilla.
Hey, I rock that spot.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, I'm not going to that. There's too much to fucking do, so yeah, it's not a thing, but yeah.
Like, do you really want to fly down to enter some guy's garage?
No, so this is what Willie says. Willie says, you're going to go in a tiny room, and I go, yeah, a tiny room with everything I love in one spot.
And there'll be a splinter of the one true Godzilla in there.
Yes, I hope so.
That you can wear around your necklace.
I can lick.
You'll come back to an empty house.
No, this is
the kind of nonsensible rambling that you expect
from
100
episodes.
After 100 episodes.
There you go.
Stay tuned for...
You got the...
Stay tuned or what?
You got the straight-up air horn, man.
No,
you
I turned
the
I'm
sound
it.
Off.
This is awesome.
He's hitting the fuck. It's no, it's too late now.
No,
the
soundboard,
no,
but
he micromanaged it too.
There you go.
The only way to save this is to put 4 hours of blank audio at the end, so that people get excited when you see a 7-hour podcast.
Oh, I hate it when videos do that. Oh my god,
so good.
There you go.
No, you have to stop playing that right now.
Oh shit! That's a problem.
That might be a problem.
Hey,
I don't know.
iTunes isn't YouTube. It's fine.
It's true.
It's
fucking.
iTunes only sells the song.
Steve Jobs' fucking skeleton's gonna come at you with an apple. In my dick fell off.
I don't get it wrong. I don't make me soft. It's fine.
It's fine.
Tune in. Thank you for sticking around 100 episodes.
I'm the king of kings.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
See you in the next 100, which I plan for because I gave it 3 digits.
Good job.
Domino.
Yeah.
Domino. You can't give me my time enough. You can't give me my time enough.